Thank God.
Okay.
Got it.
All right. Let's start with you, Bill, and we'll go around the table.
Bill Durkee here. Also, I've got Eric Christensen in the back, who's going to be giving us a quick presentation as a part of the budget.
All right. Laura.
Laura Hilty, Clark County Parks.
John Spencer Pabb.
Mackenzie Shao, Steel Liaison.
Sarah Rose, Steel Liaison.
Kelsey Potter Pabb.
Jay Chester Pabb.
Dave Weston Pabb.
Jennifer Halleck Pabb, but also Vancouver School District.
Jared Hughes, the Parks.
And we have any guests out there? You already announced Eric.
Janessa is here with me today. Janessa is a student intern in the planning department. She is a Running Start student, but also a student at iTech Preparatory. So it's great to have her for the next couple of months in our department. So,
welcome,
Janessa.
Welcome.
And also, Amanda Michael-Briggs should be here, our attorney, and we will be talking about Facebook today. And then also the tab logo as far as the
Okay. All right. Any comments or reviews? Motion to make. Motion to accept the last meeting's minutes. Move to approve the minutes. All right. It's been moved. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
All right. Ms. Barbara's just joined us. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. As opposed?
Was that a vote in favor?
Yeah, that was a vote in favor of Barbara being here. we're all happy she's
I'm
here.
Late.
You're fine.
I'm never late.
All right, so I think what we'll do is go to unfinished business. Bill, we'll let you get started on the budget update
okay.
and all that good stuff.
Sounds good. And so general fund budget, so I'm just going to kind of run you through some history before we move forward. You want to move it up to the first slide there, Jeremy? Next one back.
That's going to go over like a back off.
Okay.
Jeremy, this
page should be in there. I got it over here. Sorry. So on your sheet, in your packet, you're going to see this whole color one. That's coming up. So why don't we just go to that one, Jeremy.
Okay, sorry, Jeremy.
That's okay. You're fine. So we, more recently, even though the economy is doing extremely well, our general fund is not. And so it is, the talk is going around the county that we could very well expect to see some cuts taking place with our general fund. And so we, being the only non-mandated service in the county, we'll probably be looking at potential cuts. And so we've been asked to take a look at our budgets and see if we can make any individualized cuts or systematic cuts to our general fund budget. So just as a reminder, our maintenance budget is comprised of general fund and also Metropolitan Park District levy funding. So the general fund component is the one that's going to be affected. So what we did, took a look at, we spent our 1920 budget over this last week. We got that into the budget office. And so with that, I didn't take any look at cuts. I'm just going to respread it with status quo line item budget. But before we move forward, I want to show you what our budgets look like in history. Up in here in the yellow is the general fund parks and maintenance budget since 2005 all the way up to 2018 here. You can kind of see that way back in 2005, we are just now catching up. In 2018, we just now basically caught up to where we were that many years ago, largely due to all of the big budget cuts that occurred back in 2010, 11, 12. And so are just over time have actually started rebuilding that general fund budget. In the green is our admin budget. It used to be a combined budget between Clark County and City of Vancouver called the Vancouver Clark Parks and Recreation budget. So back in 2005, you know, this is per year, these two together is a biennium. So you can kind of see what the budgets were. So this is a year here, biennium. And so here's in the first column, you're going to see what was budgeted, what we actually spent, and so on and so forth. So Same thing kind of happened there. You kind of see it decline as we got down towards the to the tough years, the Great Recession, if you will, and then we started coming back out of it. Where you're going to see where this green ends here in the second column, that's when the city and the county separated, and this became county-only park system. That's what you see in the blue. So this blue represents our new admin going forward. So if you look back in time, you know, we're not really any farther, much farther ahead than we were back in 2005, so many years ago. And so for us to take a look at cuts, especially given that salaries have increased, the cost of businesses has increased, it's very difficult for us to take a look at budget cuts and go backwards right now. So the one thing that we have done is just take a look at going forward. How can we create revenues instead of looking at budget cuts to offset the deficit that is created in the general fund? So that brings us to our next slide. This is where we need Eric to talk about what we've been looking at recently. So in 2017, we reintroduced the parking fee passes, or parking fees. And so you're gonna see that in your column right here. 2017 gross sales, right down here. It's kind of broken down by department, by location. Prince McGuire, Louisville, Santa Cruz, and Vancouver Lake. And it's also broken down by category. So how many passes we got are sold to motorcycles, cars, annual passes, $6 vehicles, $8 bus motorhome parking fees, and then regatta, three-day parking fees contracts. Down below here is a separate. So these are the funds, and correct me if I'm wrong here, these are the funds that were collected at the parks, right? These are the funds that were collected at the Battleground Community Center, Public Service Center, at our front desk here at Operations. Is that correct? Okay. So in 2017, our very first year of reinstating parking fees, we grossed $514,858. So moving forward and talking about the possibility of increasing parking fees, and there's a couple reasons behind it. One is to create more revenue. Secondly, and this is what Eric complained about, is all the ones that we've been getting, it is enormous. So if you can imagine, hundreds of thousands of dollars in ones, how much staff time it takes to count those, even the bill counters, just to have fives instead of ones would be so much better. Anyway, it would actually save on labor cost. The one thing we're looking at doing is the possibility of establishing a $5 fee instead of three. And I know it may not be popular. We need to take a look at what the parking's doing, but I know the state parks, $10 a day, but their annual pass is 30, their server pass. What we're proposing is to go to $5, and but keeping the annual pass at $30. So people have an option of just going out and buying the annual pass, a one-time fee of $30, and they're good for the whole year wherever they go.
Bill, can you buy an annual pass at the gate?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's okay. What all these are up here.
All of them are
this
that
is
way.
All annual pass sales. Each one of
oh,
ours, so.
Gotcha, thank you.
Yep. Do we take debit or?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. And we still get
people. Oh, I'm sorry, Visa or MasterCard. And do we take debit?
Yeah.
It's a Visa or MasterCard debit mm-hmm. card? Yeah, okay. And then we're also putting pay stations in this spring, right, Eric?
As soon as
they get here. So, okay. And that's going to give us the ability to take Visa, MasterCard, and cash, right? And so where the
pay
stations
are. And then a little ticket like in downtown parking.
Yeah, you dispense a ticket and that's your
that would minimize labor.
Exactly,
okay.
They'll be basically exactly like the models in downtown Vancouver because we're using their contract to purchase from the same company.
You won't be able to get an annual pass out of the.
We haven't put that in there yet. It's possible we could program those in there, but I haven't asked them.
Don't you have to give your plate number to get a pass? I think I did.
No.
Write it in, don't you?
The name.
No, because the parking fees are daily, we don't ask for a license plate.
You're talking
about
your annual pass.
The annual pass. We don't require it for an annual pass.
The Discover pass, you write it in. Then,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, I
yeah, the
got
state
that.
One. Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Does the city contract have the ability to have an app? Like, Portland has Parking
yes.
Kitty?
Yes, it has one.
Do we do that in downtown?
We can. I don't know if you do it downtown, but I know that it has the capability. And the city of Vancouver is my understanding they were last kind of doing more of a request for proposals to do mm-hmm. that through a separate
I don't think they're doing it now.
Mm-hmm. I believe we're also hoping to try to have the phone direct phone payment when you touch the phone. Is that right?
I don't know off the top of my head. Yeah. If I don't remember, I believe we would have the capability of doing that, but I have to go back and get it.
It's all about money. Every little thing that we add costs money.
Yeah, it's right. A fee.
Something like that would pay itself off just in the minimized labor costs.
It does. It would help a lot. And there's a lot of folks, you know, especially in the off-season when we don't have fee collectors standing there. You know, people have, all we have is Iron Ranger. That's cash only. And so when we introduce the machines, it'll open up the ability to pay in different ways, which will help a lot. No more of those IOUs. Sorry, didn't have any cash on me. And so, but, you know, with the increase of the fee, obviously, we're probably going to get, you know, lesser return out for at least a while, I would think. People are not going to want to pay it, and so they'll probably turn away. But then eventually it might start coming back up. But there's going to be efficiencies. Hopefully they'll offset it. But this is one thing that isn't even decided yet. I just want to bring it up to you first so you guys know about it.
That's a tough
one. Okay. That's good. And so that I want you guys to be the first ones to hear about this before we consider moving forward to up the chain. So
Have we? Go ahead.
I was just trying to think of creative alternatives, and it struck me that if you put a quarter turnstile on the top of every slide,
I was going down the route of alternative opportunities as well, but not quite as creative as yours, Judd. Have we thought about kicking up? And I'm just thinking of like at Vancouver Lake, when we have that that canoe thingy, forget what it's called.
The regatta?
That it's packed.
Yes.
Absolutely packed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have we thought of energizing some other things that will draw people in? And I think of things like Movies in the Park that Vancouver does. And Diane is not here. She was going to try to follow up with the IQ because, mm-hmm. you know, they wanted to do that for us. But if we could do some activities that draw families in over the summer months, I know that families are always looking for the free opportunities, and you can balance those off with grants because you're serving children.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we should maybe look at how can we build attendance during periods where it's typically not full.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's already, you know, a full peak time, we wouldn't want to look at that because it would just compete.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because we're looking at that in a kind of a little bit different way, and that is the possibility of adding vendors to our parks. So like paddleboard vendors, you know, to our parks that are on water. So the lakes,
oh yeah,
and so that they'll pay to get into our park, and then they can pay the vendor for an hour.
Or not truck.
Using so that it actually provides another form of recreation truck. Once they get in. Also, food and drink vendors, and then they pay us probably a flat rate per year, right, Eric, for being a vendor at a site.
Just a flat rate. We wouldn't take a percentage of their sales.
It's gonna be hard to manage.
I want to take a percentage of their sales.
And there's a whole lighting aspect.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, if they're in there just like making a killing,
yeah.
I mean, if we're just charging them a flat fee, I would want to at least reevaluate that year too.
Yeah, I was about to say do the flat fee, but make it
an annual
contract.
We could start off with a flat fee and then try to evolve and just kind of just look at patterns of usage and to see if it is worth to do a percentage.
Yeah,
as a possibility. Because, you know, we're in the
generation. Yeah, you'd be surprised the amount that those trucks bring in.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
And I just don't want to, I mean, if that's, to me, easy revenue. Like, yeah, I know they could lie on whatever they tell us they made, but still that's more money than we're getting to begin with, just charging a flat fee.
Yeah.
Well, I know we have, at our soccer tournaments at Harmony, we have the same, that arrangement with the vendors. They come in, they provide food, they have the trucks. Some of them are on a percentage basis, some of them are on a flat fee, depending on what the product is they're selling.
So I can talk to Sean and kind of give you an idea of how we do that.
Eric and I are right now just working on the RFP, you know.
I'll get you some information on that and everything else, because we do that every year, each tournament. And we do it with hotels, but that's a whole different discussion. So.
The one thing that we provide parks, but we don't necessarily provide recreational services. You know, so we kind of get us farther into that, you know, outside of what Eric's doing here with the complex. You know,
a lot of people need that. I've said that a long time. Because we go in and use all of those things that come up with the Vancouver parks. Nicer to stay closer to home.
What park generates the least amount of money, regional parks, in terms of parking fees?
Let me look.
Vancouver Lake Regional?
No, it looks like Vancouver.
But you got to add
In terms of parking fees, Vancouver Lake and Klein Line were about the same.
Okay.
Louisville was far and away.
The biggest generator.
Frenchman's and Vancouver Lake and Louisville, or excuse me, Frenchman's, Vancouver Lake, and Klein Line were all within about $7,000 of each other. But in terms of activity, I think if you look up there in terms of volume of the $3 car parking fees, Vancouver Lake was actually had the least amount of traffic.
I can see that.
We generated more revenue because we had more events, bigger events there.
Do you have enough light to see?
I could use a little more light.
Okay, still a little bit dark in here. Our sun went away.
Bill, do you know roughly what the budget is per park? Are we basically paying for these parks via parking fees?
So the general fund budget is $3.5 million for the biennium. So over $1.75 million per year. And so if you look at what we're looking at generating, so we would reduce the need by roughly 780. If we were to add vendors, I would say the first year, another maybe $40,000-$50,000.
But specifically for each park.
For each park?
Yeah.
I don't have that right now.
It might be an interesting, and I'm not sure I would advocate for this, but just talking, is maybe the answer is regional parks, you know, as a policy should be self-supporting. And you look at what's the cost per park, and there's your goal for revenue. And that's very, very unfortunate to talk that way, but the budget is the budget.
Yeah, it's tough because parks have never really been fully self-supporting, which is difficult. And
we should be careful, because I don't believe parks should be always self-supporting. I mean, I don't know if that's a policy direction. That's just my opinion. That this policy direction from the county is that they should be self-supporting, but they're part of the livability and community that the community.
The directive at the state level that state parks are self-supporting.
They are.
That was essentially when they, you know, started focusing on the Discovery Pass and charging. And so I know from talking to the state rangers that Battleground Lake State Park around the state is one of the very few that actually supports itself. Most of the other ones just don't measure up. And so it's pretty tough to do that, to earn as much as it costs
to get creative and help them become successful.
When we built this site here in Luke Johnson, we were hoping that we could try to start matching revenues with expenditures, and we're not there. I mean, we bring in a good share of revenues at this site on sports programming, but the maintenance of the site is probably twice that. So,
how is tracking and managing these vendors going to affect your guys' staffing? Like, who's going to have? I assume you're going to have to do it. Do you feel like that's overwhelming at this point?
That's why I think a flat fee is more attractive than a percentage, because if you start getting percentages, now you're really going to have to start diving into books and verifying. So that's, while I agree, like, yes, has a higher potential for revenue.
Yeah.
But it also has a higher potential for staff time and administrative and going back and forth. But yeah, I mean, you start adding stuff like that, of course it's going to be some kind of time. And then some, a lot of times the contractors or the vendors will say, well, they have other needs, like can I get space, or can I need, you know, restrooms, or just stuff that takes up time or resources in one way or another, so that adds to it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I don't know, I would still think that the benefit outweighs the cost.
Are you envisioning this as just a summer thing? Like, the vendors are open during the summer, or is this year?
I think the activity-related stuff would primarily be spring through fall. Mm-hmm. The food stuff could potentially go a little longer, but I don't see anything going year-round.
Well, at Kleinline, the vendor was only there, you know, June through August, and even during those periods of time when the park was quieter during the week, he might have been closed.
Yeah.
So it would be seasonal based on the numbers. I can just look at our volume in terms of traffic. It's basically like from April to, you know, it's a shape curve, you know, like this. And once we get into late August, September, it drops off dramatically, so I would imagine the vendors wouldn't want to be in there at some point after, you know, Labor Day. So.
And then part of the RFP, you know, as far as scoring criteria, you know, being self-sufficient as much as possible, which means they haul their own garbage away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're not paying for the garbage that they generate, and that they basically manage themselves as much as possible, you know, so it provides minimal oversight on our part. They're not needing as far as going. And so that's probably going to be a higher scoring criteria on this, much more than the costs. And the flat rate would probably be a part of the scoring criteria, so how much they want to pay us.
Yeah.
And so that would be probably a decision factor also.
You mentioned the state parks have gone through this. Have you had any conversations with their staff as far as what all the different options they looked at?
A couple years ago we did, yeah. And so basically they were told to be self-sufficient, and so that's when they got into the fee revenue model, you know. And so basically that's what we're following, quite honestly. As far as providing other things, they do have things that we don't provide, like overnight camping expenses, you know, they have cabins and yurts and all that kind of stuff. Some we can take a look at. We were going to do that at Frenchman's Bar at one time.
Yeah. Do they make significant money off those?
Yeah.
Capital investment's fairly high.
Occupancy is pretty high. They're a little close to spring, summer, fall, so it's pretty good.
Might be.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Especially if you can make use of it off season then.
Right. So that is basically what I wanted to talk to you about today, was that, yes, we have a general fund shortage that is coming up in the 1920 biennium period. How affected will be is still unknown. It depends on the depth of the cuts. You know, if it's going to be $3 million shortfall versus $8 million shortfall. So what I'm looking at from our standpoint is trying to reduce the subsidy from general fund as much as possible by enhancing the revenues. And so that's kind of where our focus is at right now.
Can you cut a deal and say, hey, we are willing to raise our parking fees to $5, but we will get our grant writer?
I'll be talking about that today.
Yeah. That would be a good...
What are people around the tables just thought about going from $3 to $5?
Light on.
I think, honestly, if someone uses the park on a few times a year, they're probably buying a pass.
Yeah.
If the average person goes to the park this year and it's $5 and it was $3 last year, I wouldn't notice. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, and when I show up, I'm paying it, so...
As long as it's car load,
yeah. It's not desirable.
Yeah.
You always worry about that one family that's not going to be able to do it. But for the most part, our regular parks don't charge. It's only just what the Ford. And so you've got to have money in your pocket for gas to get out to Louisville anyway. So at that point, what's $2 more?
I agree. I'm just worried about the blowback that we always get. You know,
we always get.
Like, could we? How much would it like ruin your life if we did like $3 Wednesdays? Would that be? I mean, just to do some good, you know.
It wouldn't ruin my life. No, we would just figure out. Probably just have a button on the tablet to say, "Hey, it's $3 a stay." But
The
reason why
I like that
I put this together at $5 is, frankly, I mean. there's kind of two sides of this. Is one is operationally, logistically for us, it makes things less complex.
Yeah.
They don't have to sit and figure out if it's a bus or a motorhome or an RV or all that kind of stuff. So that's why it's flat five. So the more fee levels you have, the more complicated and room for interpretation and customer complaints you might get because, well, I don't think my vehicle qualifies. So there's some of that, but that's to be expected. But I think we're, at least with this schedule, where you get the most blowback is obviously from cars that are going from 3 to 5, but also motorcycles would potentially go from 2 to 5. So I don't know how fair or reasonable that would be for them. But if you just look at it in terms of the percentage of vehicles that are impacted by it, I mean, 1,400. I mean, between motorcycles, trailers, and buses and motorhomes, you're talking about less than 2,000 vehicles out of 136,000.
So are you proposing that the motorhome still would be $5?
Correct.
Everything would be $5.
So, well, I don't know that I'm proposing. I'm just putting that up there to say, hey, here's one potential option, and then we would seek guidance. But the volume of volume of traffic that we get for buses and vehicles makes you at least wonder, why are we charging that price if we're just not getting that many in there? And, it has to do with the size and do they take up space?
Yeah.
But
yeah, they take up at least two spaces, if you will. So, I mean, there's always the possibility of
charging up for two spaces.
Yeah, so you have a vehicle with a trailer and buses would go for $10, you know, because they're taking up spaces.
I think if this was to ever move forward, I think we would probably want to have a couple of different options.
Yeah.
Besides just,
I just feel like we could sell it better if we had that one day. We could say, if this, and do it on the slowest day. I would assume Wednesdays in summer or Tuesdays are slow, but keep everything else five. But that gives us some, when we get that blowback, to say, if that fee increase is too much for you, there's always the option to visit the parks on Wednesdays. It just gives us sort of a safety zone that I would feel comfortable being able to.
Well, it's good PR anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good PR.
I still feel like $30 for an annual pass in the steel, so.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, that's the thing, is that instead of paying the $5 to get in, you can buy a $30 pass, you're good for the year.
When we put the parking fees back in, and I was reading all the comments on the Columbian, everyone's mad because in their mind their Discover Pass should get them into the county park. Like there's kind of that pass overload of, I have a state park pass for $30, I have the county park pass for $30. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is a steal, but people, that was like their complaint is, well, this is another $30.
And then you got your
pass for each one of them.
Yeah.
Have we talked to the state? Is there a way to partner with them and combine get money off the Discover Pass if we start selling Discover Passes and allow them to cover our?
That's a possibility. I mean, we could try.
That is a good point.
I just think they want to play with us or not. So.
The state would take more of their money than they're
going to go.
Yeah.
Way down.
Yeah.
And because then your Discover Pass is
$30.
So that now would be 60.
To get one, so,
It could have some detrimental effects too, but it's worth looking into, I suppose.
Yeah.
So what's your next steps with this?
So I've talked to Keith about this as well, and he seems to think it's worthy of talking about, and I think he's actually even mentioned it to the county manager, the interim county manager, that it's really gotten no farther than that. So I wanted to pass it by you and just think, is it worth bringing up or considering further?
Talking about raising parking fees from $3 to $5 at the regional park.
So this is in lieu of actually cutting the general fund budget, which is going to be coming up in the 2019-20 year. And so we're looking at ways to increase revenues to reduce the subsidy from general fund.
I'm glad we're thinking about it at least.
Along those lines, have we thought about increasing the annual pass to $35, just $5 more?
Well, just to let you know the history.
That would be a huge increase.
The history with our passes, they used to be $40. Then we had a discount for senior citizens, disabled, and veterans, right? Those three. They were $30. So when we reintroduced the annual pass, we put it at $30 for everybody, and that's where it's at right now. And so, I mean, that's where the discussion, should we bring it up?
Yeah.
And then, but still keep those discounts for senior citizens, you know, veterans. And
I think that just as Dave pointed out, that for an annual pass, $30 is really cheap. Not that we want to go to 50 or anything like that, but I think 35 would be very tolerable.
Well, I was also going to make the comment that, you know, we just reinstituted it. If there's people, the more you play with it, the more people have an opportunity to complain. So I would say come up with something that's going to be good for a few years.
Right.
And shoot for that.
And stick with it for a while.
But I think we're all kind of used to each year a small increment
also
in our phone bill, our water,
or
whatever.
Yeah.
There's that incremental
that
you just kind of expect each year.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at these numbers, there's a lot of potential for, you know, new pass purchasers this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at all those.
This is. I was impressed at the numbers we got from
the
first year startup.
Yeah.
We exceeded $500,000. Which was by far more than what we had made in 2013 when it was shut down.
Right.
So I want to see more advertising at the booths, because I rolled up to Frenchman's Bar and I was like, can I buy one here? And they said, yeah. Can we put like a sign up that says, like, just in the window, you can buy
your
annual pass here?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people don't know it exists.
I agree.
Who only go to the booths, you know? And the people, I mean, I've had a couple, no, she didn't offer it. She just said, $3. And I said, can I buy a pass here? So I think we could sell more if we made it more obvious. You could buy one there.
Yep.
And I think it's signs at the booths when I went through a couple weeks ago. It says you can buy your 2018 pass now.
I bought it pretty early in the spring last year, so we might not have had one.
I don't know that we had that specifically there.
Yeah.
At that time.
They're out there now, though, right?
Sarah, you were saying something.
I think it's how you market it. And if you were going to raise the price to $5, you say it's going to be $5, but we're going to have more vendors, and we're going to have this, and we're going to do more.
Yeah, you got to sell it a little bit.
Right,
yeah. Sure.
All in how we announce it.
Yeah.
Well, that's one side. The greedy side of me says, let them buy $5 passes all year long.
Yeah, that's true, Dave.
You know,
let them buy it 10 times.
There's things that, you know, convenience overrules for me, and I pay a price for it.
Lisa has a question.
I just want to ask, have you ever thought about like promotional aspect? I do marketing, and so something of, as they go through the window and they pay their $5, that if they give an extra donation that day, that they get a coupon for a free day at another park somewhere. I have to tell you, statistically, people don't use those coupons, but they feel good about giving extra dollars.
Getting something for
it. And it might be a real positive perk, and also build attendance in parks for people to try something since they have a coupon. They might like, they might go back, and you might increase revenue. I mean, obviously, you want to extrapolate it, but just a promotional, you know, just, have you ever considered that?
Yeah, good idea.
Then we could focus on the parks that are really not getting used as much as we want.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And if you don't define an amount, there are the people that will throw a 20 into the if you make a donation versus a buck.
But that also goes along with what you're saying. It's not getting passed.
All we're going to get is the angry comments like that we got in the Iron Ranger.
I got to get a bigger dollar count machine.
Yeah.
So I guess we need to probably wrap this up so we can do we need to, do we want to explore it again in this coming month? I'm not sure how much time we're going to have to
do. Do you just need to put your feelers out with the counselors essentially and then come back to us? Like, would we need to make a motion to send it to them?
Doesn't Chris have the finance committee? Is this an item that your finance committee can
Bill and I talked about this kind of stuff does not fall under the finance.
No? Budget and financing. Okay. Just a thought.
So do you want us to give you a recommendation or affirmation now, or do you want to wait till you come back to us?
Well, we could come back in a month.
If you're willing to come back in a month, then I don't think we need it.
I think it might go forward to the councils before we convene again. It's very possible.
So I have no problem making a motion.
Yeah, why don't we just make that? So
otherwise,
you
could find yourself apologizing to us.
Yes, advisory board recommended this.
So move to recommend a parking pass increase as deemed necessary to fulfill budget shortfalls.
Okay.
I'll vote for it if we add the addendum of one discount day per week.
Is the verbiage parking pass or entrance fees?
Parking
pass would be the annual pass.
Parking pass slash entrance fee.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear in our language.
I would be hesitant to add that addendum and tie Bill's hands on recommending the increase based on that. I think your idea is fabulous.
But if we don't add it, it won't happen.
Yeah, I don't think.
I kind of agree with Kelly, though, if we don't mention that that's something we want.
How about as previously stated, and seek ways to minimize impact to low-income people?
Yeah, I like that, because that gives us more flexibility, but it doesn't pigeonhole us. Okay. Because I just think the PR...
Did you get that?
One day.
I was going to say, Laura, do either one of you guys have that written down?
And seek ways to what?
Minimize the impact to low-income.
Okay, so it's been moved. I assume you're seconding
it. Sure, I'll second it now.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? All right.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
All right, so we're PIF update.
Yes, so let's go to the next sheet, PIF update. And so, here. So just to look at our PIF sheet, make sure you get your hand out. So just this last month, as you can see, the PIFs have just been coming in at a phenomenal rate in some of these areas. So in PIF 5, you can see we gained $40,000. In PIF 6, we gained $345,000 in 1 month.
Wow.
So nuts, isn't it? That's just crazy.
And then
PIF 7, $4,000. PIF 8, $87,000. PIF 9, $27,000, and PIF 10,
$15,513.
So, there's a lot of billing going on, obviously, yeah. And it's reflecting in the amounts that we're bringing in on a regular basis. So, I've been very pleased over the 2017 year and so far this year as to what's been coming in. I mean, we're able to go out and start building parks or buying more properties as a result of what we're seeing here, which is great. So it's going to actually expedite our timelines of our goals.
Yeah.
So
I mean, happy to see that.
I'm going to be talking about PIFs as another matter later on. I believe it's in new business. Yes.
Right.
Yes. So we'll be talking about that later. Obviously, we're working on Otto Brown right now, and that's going to be done this late summer, early fall. And the one thing, don't let me forget to talk about this, but I wouldn't mind talking about firing up our field trips again for the summer.
Yeah.
And so the one thing we did talk about was taking a look at all the sites, the conservation future sites that we have agreed to, and going out and seeing those. But I would also like to show you Otto Brown and its current stage of completion. And then I'd also like to talk to Terry Snyder, and get you guys down to the new waterfront property and just go look at that again and see the progress on that.
Yeah,
thanks. So I heard the first vendor moved in already. They're open for business by August, I think.
Yeah,
I know
the restaurants.
You mean the restaurant? Yeah, the restaurant.
The restaurants are
going
in that building's almost complete, it looked like, and the other buildings are coming up out of the ground pretty quick. So
it's pretty amazing what's going on down there.
It's pretty.
Yeah. It's a shame that thing's not in our PIF district somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I think we should make it a priority to see the PIF, or not the PIF, the conservation REIT properties first.
Absolutely, I think that'll be the first on our agenda to get her out. That's going to be a big day. I've seen all these properties because they're literally across the county. We're going from Ridgefield to Washougal. Or actually the center.
Okay. Go down the Lewis and Clark Trail.
Yeah.
There you go.
Road. All right. So we got the PIF update. Speaking of Lewis and Clark Trail update.
Lewis and Clark Trail update. So our two meetings, obviously, our first meeting was postponed. The one that was supposed to have been in Camas. And because of the snow events and the snow and ice event, so that has been rescheduled to March 29th, and it's still back out of Lackamas Creek Lodge, or Lackamas Lodge. And ahead of that, which is the week after next, March 22nd, is our Marshall Center meeting that is for the Vancouver to 192nd Avenue segment or Cascade Park segment. And then the Port of Vancouver will be there as well. Very important that we have that meeting to really discuss and further define our alignment, how we connect in the port. And in fact, the port's actually gotten back to me on their proposed plan to tie into Fourth Plain from the water, where the current waterfront ends. So we'll have those folks here to talk about that, and then we can look at that map. And then also charting out how we get from Wendler Park down to 192nd Avenue. That's going to be the big discussion.
That's the big one. Yeah.
It's big, yes. And then the week after that, of course, we'll be back on campus to talk about, you know, Steiger Wall all the way up to 192nd. So making that critical connection. And so I did attend the charrette for the Richfield National Wildlife Refuge, which was heavily focused on the Carter Unit, which is the piece that has the lodge on it. That one's actually already people friendly. They had a new bridge going to it. The piece that we're interested in, for the sake of the Lewis Clark Trail, is the S River Unit, which is the southern piece. And so we put a bid in to try to get folks in via the trail to visit the National Wildlife Refuge. And the city of Richfield are fully on board with that too. And so I think it's doable. It's just a matter of getting changed, probably at the state level, obviously. And then I'm meeting with the Department of Fish and Wildlife next week to talk about the entire alignment from Vancouver Lake out to Richfield National Wildlife Refuge, because a lot of that land is fish and wildlife property.
Who are you meeting with?
State Fish and Wildlife.
State Fish.
Yep. And I think that they're all a little bit afraid about our taking over the WashDOT right of way, because that runs right over a bunch of different properties, even private ownership, and there's not much they can do about it. If we decide to take that over, we can put our trail there, and so they want to talk to us about potential alternatives, if you will, but I want to really see what their discussion is going to be. So anyways, that meeting.
Can I go to that meeting?
Absolutely. It's going to be an office. So I'm going down. Yep. I'm going to, Dan's going to be there, Dan Miller.
Good.
I got him invited. So. So I would love to see you guys at the next two meetings, if at all possible. If you want to come next week, you're certainly welcome to.
Laura, can you send me an email on that meeting?
I sure will. Yeah.
That'd be great. So at the charrette with the National Wildlife Refuge, I didn't see anybody from state wildlife there. It was all national wildlife. So, but it was a good meeting, and we had a discussion. And the purpose of that was to get people onto the wildlife refuge, get it discovered. So it's funny that, yes, they want people there, but not in this area over here. So I'm trying to crack that nut, if you will. So, and that's pretty much the update, I think.
Okay, and I saw that Amanda's here, so do we want to go into the PAB logo update and RBU?
Yes.
And
you know, one of the things I did ask on a couple of occasions was, did we have to worry about our winner coming back in the future wanting money or such for the ownership? And I don't know if Amanda has had a chance to look into what we had in our our contract.
So the application required that a contract be signed, giving us ownership of the logo, so we just have to create a contract. I believe my recollection is that there were two winners for the first place.
No, one. One for first.
I thought the first place had a team.
No, that was third place.
Okay.
The only one we're going to actually use is the number one.
Right. She's under 18.
Right.
So the parents will have to sign the contract as well. So we'll just create it.
Okay. But we did put that verbiage in there to cover our bums, because I didn't know what we needed to do.
It just said that you will sign a contract signing over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Do we need to pay them like a dollar or something just
to
make this sufficient?
No, they got their trophy. They got their goodie bag. Thank you, Amanda, for checking into that. But I do have a motion I'd like to place.
Sure.
I would like to move that our co-chairs issue four letters. My mother brought me up, you always say thank you. And I know they say that that's not the in thing anymore. But I still think that a formal thank you to Philida Neighborhood Association for supplying three of the trophies is appropriate. They've always come forward to support us, whether it be sitting on a subcommittee or whatever we need. They've always stepped up to help. And I think a letter saying that we appreciate them doesn't hurt. Second is to the Parks Foundation. Diana did a marvelous job putting together the baskets and bringing forth some donations that we hadn't been able to pursue on our own. The third is to Heidi, congratulating her from our board. We got a letter from the counselors to give to the kids for record of file. But I got to thinking it would not hurt for our organization, who they did the logo for, to say congratulations, we really like it, blah, blah, blah. And the last one, it seems self-serving, but my daughter always steps up whenever I ask her for money. And she kicked in $150 towards the trophy and gift cards and stuff. I would like her to get a thank you from us as well. And I can send you the names and addresses. I could write these, but I believe that it would be appropriate for the co-chairs to do.
I don't have a problem.
So, I moved that the co-chairs issue four thank you letters.
On the whole council or board staff,
on behalf of?
On behalf of the whole board.
Yeah, on behalf of the whole board, yes.
Second.
Okay, move seconded.
Are we passing the plate for card money?
All those
just
in favor?
Is fine.
Say aye.
Maybe it should have the new logo on.
I think just it should do letterhead with the new logo.
Yeah.
I don't. Do we have the?
You make it yourself with words.
Oh yeah.
I'll put one together and throw it to you, along with the names and addresses.
I'm talking just the logo.
Yeah,
we have the file.
Oh, we should. Yeah. I'll get it to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
If somebody can make the template of the letter, I can write, but I cannot do formatting.
I can stick the logo on, cut and paste style, so we're good there, Jay.
We'll make it a team effort.
Yeah.
I'll do that within the next day.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, Heidi's full name. And
I will CC you on what I sent
to him. Barbara, we had a meeting with some of our graphic design teachers too, and Troy was talking about what a great opportunity this was, and kind of shaming the other teachers from the rest of the schools, our high schools. Nobody responded, nobody.
Yeah.
Well, he was fabulous, and we did a letter for him from Mark as well.
He's really good.
And just on the QT, I have arranged for Philida Neighborhood Association, which he happens to live in, that when they do their annual awards, that we'll get an opportunity to honor him.
Oh.
And I just have to say, I was so impressed with this man. And it wasn't just that he gave us a lot of options. It was the fact that he called me over the holiday, sick as a dog, and still committed to his students. I honestly think that this man is the type of teacher I want for my kids. Well, my grandkids. You know what I'm saying? I was very impressed with him.
He's fabulous. Came from a TV station down in Portland.
He also worked for the Chronicle at one time.
Yeah,
I found that out from Holly, who was the person doing the speech writing for Mark Bolton. She said she knew Troy very well when I said to her, do you think you could do this for him? Because he's just phenomenal. But yeah,
yes.
But his kids just love him too.
Yep.
Oh,
it seemed like a lot of fun.
Yeah. It was great. It was a wonderful evening.
It was a very good evening.
Did you all get a chance to chat with those kids?
Oh, yeah.
They were so excited.
Well, it was nice. The girl behind us still get her basket.
Yeah,
she's like, I don't want to go up in front of everyone.
She goes,
I'm
up.
Keeping your stuff in that basket. Very good.
Yeah. She said, I'm not going. And Kelsey said, you got to go up there and get your basket. You don't get anything.
Yeah.
Said, oh,
all
no,
right.
Really? And then she came and sat down, and then she had to go back up when the picture was made. She's like, oh, okay. And
typical, like, team. Like, I don't want my picture
taken. Yeah, I wanted your picture too. All right, it was a very nice event.
It was good.
And great result. And
thanks everybody for going.
Go to the Parks Foundation. They have pictures up. We have pictures up.
And I think the counselors were very flexible. They gave a lot more time than they typically do for one of those things. Because normally it's just a glad hand and give them their stuff and they're gone in 5 minutes. And they took, 20 minutes?
Yeah,
this was for kids, so I think it meant a little bit more, so that's cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
It was nice.
Councilor Bolton was very good about, okay, we're going to have an official meeting now. The rest of you want to go home, you can now. But
yeah.
Not everybody wanted to sit there through.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on to the PAV Facebook page update. And again, Kelsey and Amanda.
Yeah.
Comments?
Thou
shalt not?
Yeah.
Remind me again.
So, I recently liked Clark County Public Parks Facebook page on Facebook, and they allow comments. For some reason, I have comments turned off on Facebook, and they restructured their setting thing, which makes it really hard to turn comments back off. So I had one person comment on, like, our dog of the week in a park was like, what a cute dog. And I was like, oh my God, how did they comment? And I thought I had them turned off. My question is, I feel like we could have a lot more impact with this page if people could comment on it. Like, what park is that? What's, you know, where we could not necessarily be providing those answers, but directing people to contact the Parks Department from it. I don't want to get into a big dialogue with people, but if their dog wins Dog of the Week and they can't say, hey, that's my dog and I love Salmon Creek Trail, I feel like we're sort of doing a disservice on our Facebook page. So as long as I don't delete any comments because they're public record, I don't think we're going to get in a situation where we're... My only thought is if we increase the park from $5 to $3, I might just turn off the comments on posts that I feel are could be controversial. I don't know, but is then that not okay? I don't know. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but I also feel like it's not public works.
Well, there's a lot of people that have an administrator that actually see the comment before they permit it to be displayed.
But I don't know if that's legal either in terms of public record. If we can block things we don't like.
We're talking about two different issues.
Sure.
We're talking about what do we have to keep and maintain in regards to public records.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about what are the First Amendment rights and what are the access requirements for the public for something like this.
Yeah.
I'll go back and check with Public Works to find out if something changed, because the whole my understanding was that the Public Works comments were turned off, and so that's why we had our comments turned off.
Yeah.
So, but it sounds like something's changed maybe since then. So on Monday, I'll just go talk to them and figure out if something's changed. I don't know if something's changed within the county. I don't know.
Okay. Because so. On the Public Works page, people are like, what time is this event again? Or is it canceled due to weather? I mean, it's actually 99.9%, I think the comments we're going to get are going to be legitimate, like, questions about parks.
Right.
And I don't want to, I think if this is going to be successful in getting information out to people, I think we need to have the comments on. So legally, we can, and it's not a headache that I have on. So,
that would be nice if they could post their own puppy pictures.
Yeah, because the puppy thing died. Because I think it's just one more extra step for someone to go and hold
cumbersome.
Their email. It's cumbersome. So, like, that's kind of like your your dog.
I was like, I missed the dog conversation.
It was like, show us a picture of your dog in a Clark County park. And you could win, like, your dog, and you could be on the Facebook page. And we were getting, like, 10 people to look at our posts. Once I started putting dogs up there, it's just Sarah's idea. We have, like, 300 people looking at our page.
Okay.
And so, if people couldn't, that first, right? Oh, what a cute dog, you know, just like that sort of stuff.
Okay.
So I feel like the law should have momentum by not having it on.
Okay.
So
I'll find out what's happening.
Okay.
And I'll let you know.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
And if you shut us down, shut Public Works down, too.
I've seen him go bad, too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so then we have... revisit community planning, Railroad Advisory Board. For those of you,
last month, Jose Alvarez from Community Planning came here and gave a quick presentation
would be good
and asking if any of our advisory board members wanted to be a liaison on the railroad advisory board for the sole purpose of protecting the trail along the Salache Railroad.
It's all part of the bill, I think it was passed in the state legislature to turn areas into commercial or protect areas.
Light
industrial areas from kind of stuff. And we didn't get any volunteers last meeting, so we're kind of asking if anybody wants to jump on that or volunteer.
I know.
John's looking
I think
down
it's John
at his
or
table
Kelly would be the best for it.
I would do it, but I don't know that I'll be able to go to the meetings enough.
I think it's only a couple, right?
It's only. I think it's going to be a couple meetings. I think it's supposed to wrap up in July.
Yeah, it's a definitive time frame. A definite time.
Maybe two to.
They might throw me out because I don't.
Once enough.
I have this new passion about the railroad even existing because of the numbers we've seen.
I'll do it.
Oh, John, you're the best. I'll bring you something magical.
Did I say that strong enough that you jumped in?
Somebody's going.
You're a motivator, Kelly. You're a motivator.
Reverse psychology or something. So
might as well.
All right.
Thank you,
thank
John.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer.
Don't give those guys a full run of things. I can tell you that right now.
We'll be talking.
Don't give them the full run of things.
Absolutely not. Okay. We are there primarily to shut down the railroad and turn the whole thing into a trail.
Just tie yourself to the
rails and trail.
Take the rails off.
Yeah. Run it off the rails.
Yeah. They can't keep it on the rails anyway. All right.
Thank you. Moving
on. Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Sarah McKenzie, do you have any updates? How's the college search going?
Oh, crazy busy.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Just scholarship apps.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you need a letter?
I don't think so.
Well, you know, you can
like, call us.
Yeah, you can.
Call on us.
You guys aren't big enough.
Seriously, you should. Go to the county and get them to write you a letter just saying, hey, he's on
we have a logo now, so we're looking for you.
it can look very official.
You know, speaking of that logo, I want to get it mounted up here someplace so it's permanently fixed here in this room.
Whenever we're about
okay.
to
so great.
The first thing we do
that.
Is we go
yeah,
out there and get all
above the light there.
Regardless of what they ask for.
Not on the soundboard.
Same.
Facilities people have trauma then. I want to give Mackenzie a shout out for showing up to the award ceremony on Tuesday. And Sarah for babysitting my kids when they were sick last week. Thank you guys.
And have duties as assigned.
All right, so what we'll do next, we'll move into new business, and Bill's got several things he wants us to go through, and there's some motions we need to pass or to act on, and then we'll go into Bill's manager's report. I think he's these all kind of mix in together, but I'll turn the floor over to you and let you go forward.
You got it. Okay, so let's take a look at the real estate expense tax 2. This is this document right here in your packet. And so I believe in my manager's report last month, I let you know the great news, and that was that we met with our budget office folks, as well as our county manager, let us know that in the 1920 biennium period, we will have potentially up to $20 million in real estate two funds that are dedicated to parks, roads, and clean water. The primary focus is on parks and some roads, and so the one thing that we wanted to do is to take a look, prioritize some projects. That's why I wanted to have you involved here, to take a look at some projects with me, figure out where we could spend some money in the next couple years. And so in preparation of combining these projects with road projects, which my understanding from what I'm hearing from Susan Wilson, who is a grant writer for Public Works, on the transportation side. She wants to spend some money on sidewalks, which I'm not against. I think that's a wonderful idea because it is transportation, and it actually improves our trail systems. However, there's going to be a good focus on parks use of this REIT funds. We can use it to leverage PIF funds. We can also use grant funds to leverage grant funds, or use grant funds to leverage this money. And so I decided to take this out the next two bienniums because at the end of 2021, we're going to need to redo our PROS plan, which will be effective in the year 2022. So my original take on this was to go out four different biennium periods, and I thought that's not going to make a lot of sense because things are going to change, priorities will change. So what you see here in front of you is REIT two projects. I did a quick priority list based on the here and now. The top is urban parks or MPD locations, and the bottom is regional. And so I wanted to go through these with you. Want to go through the slideshow, Jeremy?
Sure.
We can take a look at these. I did not get a chance to do a complete analysis of all the expenses. We just did not have time. So we did put a small PowerPoint presentation together. And so you can take a look at what we're looking at for funds, starting in the 2019 year. What you don't see is in the 2018 year, Harmony Sports Complex, they just got a $1.12 million grant to do parking lot improvements. So we have $600,000 here in funding. What I plan to do right now is to utilize REIT 1 funds that we have banked that we can use for site plan and developments, or site plan and permitting of the Harmony Sports Complex parking lot, and then get that reimbursed with the legislative funding. So that'll be a neutral balance. But then, going forward, when we actually start working on the parking lot, we'd like to put $1 million towards it in 2019 and in 21. So for a total of $2 million. So that's why you see the $2.6 million here. It actually should be two. But then we're also gonna go after some more grant funding. And so the county's basic contribution to Harmony Sports Complex is about $3 million. So
how much is the total cost of the parking lot?
What's that?
How much is the cost of the parking lot?
I believe the $1.12 million is 25% of the total project cost.
Okay, so
is that right?
Basically,
the total project cost is $6 or $7 million, but that's the development.
That's actually quite a bit.
Field house example. Parking lot itself is about two.
Yeah, two. Okay. And then there's
is what it is.
Two is the parking lot.
Does this impact the dog park going in? Separate, totally.
No, that's
separate.
Actually going to be somewhat separate from that. So the dog park is out to the south. This is just for the improvements to the parking lot. And so if you want to go to, you want to refer to the sheet, but let's actually start going to the slides.
Johnny, we'll put a little bit of an access to the dog park.
That would be good.
Coming around in the south side of the fields.
Let's go to Harmony, Jeremy.
If there is any
so,
way,
here it is.
Here it is. So we've got an orienting so far. Nice lots here. 1, 2, 3. Future. Okay. Here's the main entrance right here. Right here is the main entrance as it stands right now. This is 13th Street. This is right now, it's a three-way intersection, intersection, a traffic signal. That's gonna become a four-way. But with the first phase, we wanna take care of this spine right here. And I believe this is gonna be asphalt going out this way, some improvements here and here. And then when we get to, that'd be the 2019 is when we'd actually start on that aspect. 2021, we'd probably start looking at phase two. This is done, I believe.
That's done.
That's phase two. This is actually part of the matching component. So phase three, we'd start looking at this asphalt, start to put this light in right here, so we have an access in here, so we can go left or right. We're not really sure what's gonna happen with 192nd Avenue right here because of the whole Section 30 development that's going off to the west. So it's going to be kind of tough. So we're kind of probably holding off on the intersection for a while until we figure out what's going on in the big picture to the west here. So that's like a number one priority because we've got grant funds that are tied up right now that we just got, $1.12 million that need to be expended and they need to be matched. And so that's why this is at the top of the list.
What grant is that?
It's the, it's not really a grant, it's a legislative fund.
Oh.
It's the legislature's capital fund outside of, yeah, capital fund.
It's Washington State is definitely becoming earmarks. That's how long they're
earmarked.
Yeah, so we need a senator right sponsor and a representative sponsor for this to go forward, and we didn't get that. So
is there any way to use this as an opportunity to help push that dog park and, you know, get better access, otherwise enable developments of a,
so
get two up one here is what's kind
right,
of where
so
I'm
here's
going.
A dog park right here. Here's a dog park.
Oh, okay.
So there was a provision for getting folks down here and here. See this parking right here?
So that does actually by itself
help,
which is awesome.
Right. Okay. And there again, I'm not sure what's going to happen here. We know the development's going to happen here, but how that's going to affect the Dunn Park, it's going to be complementary to it.
And then I sent you an email today about discussing the intersection to the south.
With the did you? There.
Yeah. Setting up a meeting to talk about that. So.
Yeah.
Where's 18th Street on this? Is it up here?
18th is up the top.
That's what I thought.
18 goes up.
18th, 192nd right here. 13th Street, this is 9th. Here's the Humane Society right here. Mm-hmm. This is the top of the Humane Society. Okay, next one is Curtain Creek Community Park. This is one of the three designs from way back in, I'm going to say 2004. It's pretty old. So we just went through this last fall decision package. No, it was the spring decision package to do site plan and permitting on this Curtain Springs Community Park. And so that's going to be moving forward here pretty quickly. And so with that, I don't have, so this is Northeast 72nd Avenue, Northeast 119th Street. We don't have aerials just yet. What it could do is pull up the map here. I can show you the map, but sorry, we didn't get to that level because we just didn't have time. This is the fire station along 72nd Avenue. Primary access coming in along the fire station. And so we have three different designs, and this is old, an old look, but we need to actually do another open house and figure out what we want to do there. This is Curtain Creek running through here. Bridge concept going over to access a walkway here, going all the way down to 119th, which connects us over this trail is actually going to continue on all the way down to Patton and actually to Curtain Springs. So, but the actual footprint of the park is 30 acres, and I want to go after a grant this year for it, because if we're successful in this grant for development, the funds will be available in 2019, and that's when I'd like to actually start spending money on that site. So we do have $3.5 million roughly. If you look at the TIF sheet, what we've got for that site, we've got about $3,400,000 already. So this money will complement that, plus with grant money. I think we're definitely going to have a sports component on here, whether it's going to be soccer fields, rugby fields, baseball fields, or an overlay of the three.
Bill, right now, what we're finding is we're putting in some turf, new turf sports fields at our high schools, is that lacrosse is becoming a very fantastic sport, and a lot of people are really wanting to get involved, and so we'll be striping our new turf fields to accommodate lacrosse. I wonder if we can also maybe put that in the world of sports complex striping.
If possible. If you look at this field right here, everything blue is lacrosse
is markings. So you do have lacrosse in here. Okay.
Everything in blue is lacrosse.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah. So it's the size limit, so we need to have that open house with the community, find out what they really truly want out here. So you have the basic community park components, restroom, shelter, sports fields, parking, trails, all that kind of stuff. Okay? And so this is the last of the two community parks within the MPDs, the 35. So we have, after this one, what's left is Pleasant Valley. We want to get this one started right away. So that's next. And then I think that site started in 2019. Start the site plan this year, if at all possible. Next one, Cozy Camp. So this is a neighborhood park. It is the second to last of the 35 of 35 parks, we've got the neighborhood parks that are within the MPD system. We're on the second last, that would be Cozy Camp. The very last one is Sandy Creek Community Club, which is coming up. But Cozy Camp is Mount Vista. This is 29th Avenue, right here. 179th Street, it's right about where the title is at. 179th Street, Fairgrounds to the west. This is 174th right here. It's a 5-acre parcel with a house and a barn here that all comes out. We've got brand new development all the way around here. In fact, it's exploding out here. This is the Street of Dreams to the west here. In fact, we use the site as a parking lot. Parade of Homes is what it is. So we used the site as a parking lot last year for the Parade of Homes. Due west, and so the entire area was built out around, and it is time. This park's been sitting here for a long time, and people have been asking us for 10 years, how long is it going to take to get this park built? Well, if you look at our PIF.
15 years.
If you look at our PIF, we've only got just a small amount of money coming in. It's been really slow for PIF 10, for whatever reason. And so with the with two funds being available, I think we can pull the trigger and get this thing done pretty quickly. I'd love to see that happen.
What's the cross street this way?
This one here?
Yeah.
29th Avenue.
29th.
Yeah, so it takes you up to the top of the hill. WSU is right over here.
So when this one gets done, will the new property be next in line?
No. Salmon Creek Community Club. That's the very last of the MPD parks. Oh,
okay.
But then
we can go play on the grass there.
Yeah. We'll get there. Look at that, Barbara.
Just asking.
Hey, if we get two funds, we can actually, you know, start building parks without even the use of PIF. I mean, realistically.
Yeah.
That's a possibility.
What you got?
There is PIF
10, or PIF 9, girl. Are you PIF 9?
No, we're
10. Okay, so let's talk about
you're
the next one.
Oh, yeah. You're
trickling
in.
So this is the next neighborhood park, Center Creek Community Club, right after Cozy Camp. We want to get this one built. Now, this is a large parcel, actually. It's actually a green space that runs all the way up quite a ways. And this is actually the property. This is Legacy Lands, which will actually be developed as a park as well. So that would be the last neighborhood park within the MPD system that is promised as part of the levy. Pleasant Valley, our very last community park within the MPD system. So once we get this one built, all of our promises will have been made, kept, and fulfilled.
That's a beautiful site.
It is. And we've actually been putting money into the site. We've down below here, we just put a bridge in three or four years ago to over Salmon Creek. So now we have a direct connection to WSU property and a walkway that goes all the way to town from there. So that's really cool.
That's beautiful.
So basically our development on this site is going to be on the top side. So play equipment. There's 5 acres in the back side, along on the back side of the school and the back side of the park that we can actually turn into soccer fields if we want to. So there's that capability. There's a little shelter off the back. It's just like a little gazebo. But of course the idea is to make it bigger, restroom, that whole thing. So, okay. Heritage Farm. We are currently in the process of updating the master plan. This is the old master plan right here. And so we're gonna start doing the update. Once we start that update, we'll get it done. See, Lisa left, this is kind of her brother. Once that update is done, which will be this year, Pat Lee and Kevin Tyler are gonna be leading that charge. We try to keep Pat and the Farm Advisory Board kind of somewhat separated, but this is in the REAP2 funding, so I'll let you take a look at it. So some things to be changed there. The one thing that we really want to focus on right away is the trail system that surrounds this farm. So even though this is the farm / research station, we also want to have a recreational component on it. And so tying in Houston Park, which is right here, to this trail system that goes around the farm. Here's a cemetery right here. Here's the park's new parking lot. So we did a boundary line adjustment. This used to be parkland up here. We treated the farm so we could have access on 68, put a big parking lot here that serves the park and the farm, and the entire trail system in that ties 68th Street to 70th Street. So that's going to be pretty cool.
So what are you starting with? Like, what's the money?
Yeah, right.
The trail. What's the trail would be like the first thing.
So that would open 78th to 68th.
Correct. So you can walk from 68th to 78th. Nice.
And Hazeldale is going to open because it's fenced now around the end.
So it's going to open up into the park, or?
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to have openings here in the park, plus the parking lot. Right here, that'll be open by day, locked by night. So this side will be secured at night time, just like our park star.
Yeah, this will be great. I think more people in this park, the safer that this park will be.
Yes.
Yeah, this is, it's a little challenging area right in there.
You know, the one thing about the site is it's you've got terrain. This is the hilltop. This really rises right here.
Yeah.
Potential water tower site, potential viewpoint, because you can actually have a 360 view from here. And then it starts dropping back down towards 78. So you got one heck of a rise in the fall. So we got to figure out how to make this as AD accessible as possible. So there are some challenges here.
It's going to be great.
This will be the first legal access through, pedestrian access through, without going all the way around. I grew up in this area.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge.
We were always cutting through people's yards to go up to 78th Street. Yeah. So that's huge.
We've got a road vacation that we've got to deal with on the very eastern side of this property. Right here is 25th Avenue. It ends right now at 78th Street, but it does show in the arterial atlas that it comes all the way down. It goes all the way down to Minnehaha. And so that's going to have to be kind of mixed, I think, as a part of this process.
Yeah, aren't there apartments like to the south of that?
Yeah,
there's no way it could go there. Yeah, that's so weird. Okay.
Seems like we need a main spine down for the trail through the property and then the off trails.
Right now, this is existing, this road right here, but it goes straight up the hill, you know? And so, plus it's steep.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to figure out how we're going to do this.
But and yet, go with one main trail and then the loops off of it.
Right.
Yeah. If we're looking at master planning.
Right, exactly. And that's one thing, you know, when that master plan process comes up there, it's going to be an open house, so definitely keep you apprised of when it's going to be. Love to have your comments on that. So. Okay, what's next, Jeremy? Good Creek Woods, Community Park. This is a lot of work. This one has been master planned. Basically, we want to get this thing started. And so I wasn't planning on doing a grant in this cycle, but rather in the 2020 cycle, and go after development funds so we can use REIT funds and PIF funds to build this. This is parking lot for Trailhead and the park itself, so 10 acres, community park. Plus, you got Cougar Creek that takes you right up to 119th Street, which is the trailhead that takes you down to the Sand Creek Greenway. So it connects back together. If you go south, you're going to what's the name of that high school?
Columbia River.
There you go, thank you. Putney River High School down here. And so we would follow that river view channel.
So you're going to connect to Columbia River on the trail?
Yeah, there's actually an undercrossing, underpass right there.
It's been there for years.
Yeah. Yes, it's been fenced off. But the intention back then was to actually run that trail north all the way up to Salmon Creek.
But I'm thinking, do we have the property that connects all the way through like that now?
We own pieces of it. And plus we have the main sewer line, transmission line, runs that creek line. And so the sewer line comes right down along this creek. We have ownership of several pieces. There is one piece in here, right here, that we need to acquire from OpGather. And we're trying to get them to donate that to us or sell it to us, one of the two. But for the most part, I think we can, with some small acquisitions, I think we can get our way down through here. We own everything to the north, going up to Salmon Creek, so at least we've got that for right now that can be done as a part of this main development project.
We have those drawings. David Sakamana did some work for us years ago on getting from the high school down to the fire station.
Yeah, I don't know, but then we're going to find those. Yes.
Because that would
answer
your question.
So your goal is 2022 for this being completed?
Yes.
Okay.
So I want to go after grants in 2020.
Uh-huh.
Funding will be available in 2021, probably with the development actually in 2021 to 2022.
Okay.
In that time frame. Keep in mind that in the year 2021, we're going to be revising the PROS plan, which will be expiring. It has to be done before 2022. So that's why I didn't go any farther than that, because we will have a chance to actually redefine what all those priorities are in the capital facilities plan. So
with all these projects, how are we on staffing to manage all these projects?
So on the MPD projects, Funding-wise, we're doing okay. On the general fund, that's a whole different story. So staffing-wise, obviously, we're going to have to add staff as we build community parks and that kind of thing.
Right, well, I'm talking just project manager to oversee the build.
So we do a combination of staffing, of the transportation staff downtown.
Oh, okay. So
they're the ones that oversee it from beginning to end. And then we contract out all of our engineering that can work.
Right.
But the MPD pays for the maintenance of the MPD parks, yes?
Yes.
So the few that we're still finishing up from MPD, that's taxed by people who live in the MPD district. Those should continue and should
Continue
to receive funding to be able to...
Yeah, no, it's just a lot of parks all at once, and I was thinking about staff overload as far as managing it all, but as long as it's there.
Yeah. Okay, move on to the next one. Campbell, so now we're moving into the regional side. So with Campbell, we have done the master plan. We are currently right now working on site plan permitting, and we've just recently got our consultant on board to start that process. And so when that gets done, then we will take a look at 2019, $700,000. I'm trying to figure out what our plan was there.
Yep.
I didn't plug a lot in there just yet because I wasn't sure exactly what are we going to be doing. It's going to require a lot of fundraising from the Camp Hope folks. They're going to be doing a lot of the work as far as doing development of these buildings proposed. Us stepping in and helping, we're going to try to help with grants, that kind of thing. But I'm kind of taking kind of a cautionary approach moving forward as to what we're going to do and how we're going to spend money on this site.
Is there anything, basically, can we throw any money at that access road to try to?
Yeah, we're going to try to soften those sharper corners. We have to acquire some property to do that. And I don't think we're ever going to be able to make it a two-lane road. But at least people can see vehicles coming, a lot more pullouts, that kind of thing. That's something about the best we can do. It actually dictates how many people can use this site, how many trips we can have. Luckily, we've got established a history of trips on the site, so and usage of 132 people is what's been allowed since the beginning of time. So we do need to soften that road. That road is actually on the county roadblock, so I'm trying to use their money rather than ours to get some things done. So transportation funding. Okay, excellent. And then keep in mind, these general fund sites, as I'm going through this whole general fund budgetary cuts, I got to be really cautious of what we're putting together and what we're building, because I'm not sure we're going to be able to maintain it. That scares me. Green Mountain Master Plan. So, this place is exploding right now. So, this is the footprint of the property, 300 acres. This is the golf course right here, Green Mountain Golf Course. This is all in homes right now, if you've kind of looked at it lately.
Yep.
You can actually kind of see the lots here. That's all being built right now. Subdivision going in right here as well. And so it's probably a good time to master plan this site so we know exactly what we need going into the future, what kind of access points we need, and then how we're going to provide recreation to the site. So it's a large piece of property. We've already talked to, is that Everett Road, is that right? Or
Engle
Road, right here, okay? You got Camp Curry right down below us. And our intent is to run that trail right up, Lewis right here, this main road right here. The subdivision is going to be through here. We're going to have an access point here. We're going to have an access right coming into here already. We're landlocked on this side. The only way in is through a BPA power line.
Which is there.
It's by your thumb.
What's that? Yeah. And so we need to figure out what that is. This is steep, so the summit, if you will, is right in here. So we basically own the whole eastern side of Green Mountain. And so we'll have to do the northeastern quadrant, if you will. So the master plan, we've got $400,000 figured for that, and so I can push forward with that so we know exactly what we're going to be doing in the future.
One of the things we talked about in that property years ago when we did the master plan, when we worked on the master plan,
right,
was some land swaps so you didn't have this square, because it's such a, the contour of the land doesn't warrant well with contour.
Mm-hmm.
Contours and squares don't fit together.
Right, right.
It's an opportunity to get some viewpoints and give up and give and take some land,
mm-hmm,
when they do those subdivisions.
And we might be able to do that as a part of the master planning process, you know, and because we're going to have city canvas involved and all these different groups. Plus schools. Schools really want a piece of this. Canvas schools, they're asking if we could give them a piece of property. They already have this. This is DNR.
Give? Did you say give?
Yeah, that was the word. So this is actually DNR property that the school district is actually going to build on. But that, I think that was going to be the elementary, not elementary, but middle school, high school. They want another space for elementary school as well. So there's some discussions to be had coming going forward. So
who owns the front side of the
this here?
No,
not at the
top. Right there. Now.
Right here. Another developer.
It's so steep, it won't be developable. Though.
Yeah. There's a lot of homes already. Some homes up here.
Yeah, there's here. Homes down
there. I believe they're going to pull it off, I'm sure, somehow, some way. Okay. Let's move on to the next one.
They try.
We'll take too much of your time here. David Regional Park, phase development. Pat Lee went after this in the last grant cycle, and we weren't very successful because the circuit board funding was just not sufficient enough. We only had like $1.5 million in the whole thing, and I think our ask was that much. And so they ended up distributing out to smaller grants. People were asking for $100,000. So the intent here is to create Daybreak Regional Park, which has been master planned for many years. And so 2010. And so here is the existing boat launch right here. Existing park on the other side of the road, the bridge, main Daybreak Bridge. So the idea is to take this 100 acres here and develop it. So trail system, parking lots, we've got shelters, picnic areas, a little bit all the way through here. This is supposedly a riding arena, stable, that whole thing. That's supposed to be privately ran, if you will. I was actually working with the Clark County Saddle Club, almost kind of talked into moving there, pretty close. We're actually selling out and actually moving up 503. So anyways.
Is this plan done by teenagers?
I believe so, yeah, back in the day. So the speculative front parts had a heavy hand for this. The one thing that worries me about this is that it's gonna cost a lot of money to maintain it once we build it. So we can take a look at a phase one development, which is just trail, this piece right here. So I think that we're actually gonna take a look at going forward in this cycle, which is, we have to have the grant in the next 2 months, and get this trail here. And then we also need some work done to stabilize this bank, otherwise this river's going to keep eating away at this site. And then just try to maintain it at a first phase of several phases.
So again, if you're talking parking fees, then this will be another regional park.
This will be a new regional park that we're charging parking fees at. Yeah.
So something, make sure you're incorporating that as far as...
Good point. Yeah, we actually had an Iron Ranger at this site at the boat launch. And it didn't get a lot of money. It didn't collect enough to justify it, because I was on the honor system. We never had a fee collector there. It's just the Iron Ranger. But if we do build this park, there will be a fee collector there. So, fee collection station. That will be the actual fifth then for us. So, looking at $4.6 million to build this outright. Grants $2 million and $6,600,000. So. I'm a little bit leery of going down that pathway, but
yeah.
Camp Bonneville phase development. So this one is, we've got $600,000 right now to do the master plan on this site. So that is actually going to be underway. We're gonna need your help here in the near future. We've asked Councilor Bolt to, he's got some folks in mind to sit on the committee that that's going to be put together to help steer this thing. I think Debbie Hansen is going to be one of those folks. She's the Parks Director for Battleground. And there's going to be some other folks as well that both have in mind. Master planning, we're going to go out, get a consultant, and actually start this process. It's probably going to take a year and a half, 2 years, to actually update the reuse plan, which is enormous. And so the one thing different about the site is it's got timber guns. So Kevin Tyler Hunter Decker has been thinning out these woods, and they actually have a transmission pole contract right now that's expected to bring another $1.2 million in. I think by the end of this year, we'll have about $4 million in timber funds that are sitting towards the development of the site. So we actually have movement. We can actually start doing some things for this. So now that we have REIT funding, we can actually leverage that and actually start putting some work in here. There is one problem, and that is on transportation. We do have a concurrency issue down in the Fifth Pine Creek area. Those intersections are fast. And so we're going to have to do something before we start pulling here, but at least we can get the master plan done. And they were also talking about, so you remember how this REIT funding is available for transportation? So we got to be careful.
Careful, they don't take it all.
Yeah, to try to meet concurrency needs. So
something like they will restrain.
Yeah. Blue Creek access. So this is the piece that we bought. North side. This is actually a small section of it right here. One small piece of 120 acres altogether. The northern boundary actually touches Richfield city line, city boundary, and it actually extends out to Lake River to the west. And so we're trying to provide, this park property, or this Conservation Futures property is landlocked. And that is a problem. We need to get access into it. So we are working with the property owner here, and this property owner here, to get an easement established. Jeremy's been working on that to some degree of success over the some several months. We've got boundary line disputes, we've got all kinds of different things going on. So trying to get that worked out so that we can provide one, hopefully several access points in here into the site.
Are there trails like already in there? Or?
There's trails riddled through the whole thing.
Okay.
It's highly terrainous. It drains three creeks that drain into Lake River, so you've got peaks and valleys throughout this entire property.
Okay.
This could potentially be part of the Lewis and Clark Trail if we have to go on an alternate alignment on the east side of Lake River.
Okay, because to me right now it just looks like $1 million to a bunch, like to no dedicated area is what I'm looking at it. It's like,
I know, you're looking at it.
You know what I'm saying, and it just looks like a trail into trees.
So, I know, the tree canopy is really misleading. See, right here is a, that is a gas or oil line, Jeremy, is that right?
Reservoir South? Williams Gas
line. From there, you actually get into the street line, which is like 10-foot wide trails. Kind of
okay, I just want to make sure there's already something established in there and we're just not building a trail where people...
Yeah, if you were to come back, you see trails that go all over the place.
But they're not made by us, they're just made by people who have walked in them?
Yeah, been out there for years.
Okay.
So do you need parking then?
Parking will be... Right here. Mm-hmm. So we'll actually have a trailhead parking eventually. So.
I thought we were going to do it on the
Down here?
Yeah.
Possibly.
It would have to be windows.
I thought we were possibly able to put it right in here. It wouldn't be very big. But yeah, it depends. I mean, it depends on what we want to do once we get in there. So.
What's the acreage?
120 acres. It's a big piece of property. We're looking at a small section of this entire piece here. In fact, our property line is right here. And so, I don't know. I'll tell you what, if you got time, Kelly, we'll show you the whole thing. It's a big piece.
I might have something real
quick. That's in the interest of time. Let's move ahead here. Lewis River Ranch. So, this is one of the pieces, one of the most recent Conservation Futures properties that we are going to acquire. We've already acquired this piece right here, that's in blue. Our next acquisition is this piece right in here. That's the one that we just agreed to buy. Third acquisition. So this is the, I didn't put any description there. Basically, master planning this site. We acquired this piece. This will be number three, number four. This is going to be a huge BMX mountain biking course. What we're going to take advantage of is this is an active pit right now. They have to do a reclamation, but they are willing to work with us on grading the entire site out as part of the reclamation, turn it into whatever it is we want. Another thing we're talking about, Louisville Highway is right here. Louisville Highway, Louisville Park is right here. Since they are mining, actively mining, Louisville Highway is actually 20 feet above Louisville Park. We're talking about having them mine out an underpass under the highway so we can go from one park to the other without having to cross the highway. So if you want to go into, if you want to go here, heading north, you go into Louisville Highway, circle around and come underneath, and vice versa, the same thing for this site. You pay going in on both sides.
Unless you have an annual pass.
Coming in going, huh?
Yes.
Or
no, anyway, so yeah, this will be another piece.
It's all free Wednesday, John.
Slash a trail, which is what we need to talk about today as well. So the piece, I didn't write that. What piece did we show? I'm trying to remember. Did you show that one?
Okay,
we'll show it later on. See these books right here? We're going to talk about Slash and Trail here just a little bit. This is the entire trail alignment. I get to each one of them. We'll talk about that. Anyway, Slash and Trail, battleground to Cedars Golf Course. So this is an example of what the trail kind of looks like. We want to build that section. So we've got Battleground, who's already gotten TAP grant for it. To use the section all the way to the extent of their city boundaries, which actually comes all the way up to Cedars Golf Course or our Salmon Morgan property. What was that photo at?
They have it in the handout, but it's also in the file under the Tulaptu Trail.
Can you pull that up since we're talking about it right now? Let's do that right now. So it's an interesting time.
Are you talking about that?
Yeah. It is. Okay. So right now we've got one mile trail that goes from Battleground Lake State Park back towards Battleground, and it ends just out of sight of this picture. We're being held up right now by the Sarkins, and so we want to hold off on this piece for right now and put a strong focus on Battleground Community Center down to Cedars Golf Course and Santa Morgan property, which is an 80-acre piece that we own right on the rail line. And so this is the piece that we want to focus on and get this thing built. City boundary is right here. So this is all inside the city, Battleground. We own the railroad and the right-of-way, so we can put our money towards that. What I just found out from Keith today at our meeting is that Bridge 12, which is, if you've ever been out to Cedars Golf Course, there's a bridge that goes through the golf course over the top of it. The state just awarded $2.2 million to the replacement of this bridge to include pedestrian walkway across it. So that's going to be a very instrumental component of this. And if that's already done, we're in great shape. And so we will have to put, talking to Heath, $400,000 of our money into the construction of this bridge, and then it'll be ready for us. So then we basically, what we're paying for, in conjunction with the city, which that's not even reflected on here, is this segment. And so the city has been working to build their trail to the northern extent, right about here, and the southern extent of their city boundary, which I think was originally to here. We're going to help make sure we help them make this happen. So I think once we get this piece put in, it's going to put a lot more pressure on getting this piece done. So the one thing I wanted to ask you about, we're going to talk about this a little later on, right? So we can come back to that.
You can talk about it now if you want to, or whatever you want to do.
I just wanted to jump in and say this, given the committee that I'm now sitting on. This would be a great high priority to be able to go to the committee and say, you know, yes, we need to allow this, and by the way, we're already planning and got money
exactly.
for that.
Yes. We put a lot of weight behind it.
Yeah.
This one's got a lot of momentum behind it already, so this is really cool. Question, it's a grant here, and I'm asking if the Parks Advisory Board would like to submit a grant proposal on behalf of that section of trail using RCO's trails program. I'm going to be right.
The real problem, Pal, I guess you got a destination.
We do. We have
the other one. We got grants, but then we had a block, so we really have a piece of trail that goes nowhere.
Correct.
And so, this one, if we could get down to there, yes, we'd probably be all right.
You've got the City of Battleground plus the Community Center, which is the fairgrounds right here. And we have a golf course, and we've got Sandman Morgan property, which is absolutely stunningly beautiful. It's 80 acres. You walk through that, it's just, it's like walking through a prehistoric forest. It's gorgeous.
But doesn't that help us with now with the bridge? If we have the, if the state and everybody's kicking in for the bridge, they have the pedestrian crosswalk.
Yep.
Cross there.
Yep.
That's, I mean, that helps to make the connection of the dots.
It's going to make a train safe for the train, and it's going to actually add pedestrian walk, which has never had before in the past. So that has been a huge stumbling block for this piece. That's going in, and the state's already paying for it. We're in wonderful shape. And all you got to do is just finish out the trail. Almost dead flat for here.
I did the master plan for where the library is here.
Yeah.
And when we designed that whole property, we designed it so the trail can go off the railroad through right next to the library.
Perfect.
And back on.
Yep.
I don't know if that got lost or not.
No. Actually, if we look at the book, it might actually be in there. So
it should be. It was the same time we did this book.
Yeah, look at segment six.
So John's role on this advisory board is going to be advocating that they don't build any light industrial on our trail right away.
Just so you know, the piece that you're going to be focusing on is from 119th Street up to 149th.
Okay.
So that's Winco to Brush Prairie, basically, that segment there. But if you look at the trail segment.
Which one did you say, six?
Yeah, page six. Segment six.
Good job in your committee.
There you go.
But you're super organized.
Right.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Here.
Yes, sir.
This is a good idea.
It's confused on the map because it's not north and south, it's northeast. Okay, and what's nice about one thing I want to mention to you is when it comes to trails, they're not nearly as expensive to maintain as parks are. So they're actually an easy keeper, and they're expensive to build. We know that. Highly expensive to build, way more expensive than, you know, per square foot than parks are. However, they're easy keepers, and they'll be there indefinitely. Huge. So I'm going to be busy writing up a grant, working with Jane Kleiner on the Cougar Creek Woods. What's that?
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, you know, we're working on the Cougar Creek Woods Community Park grant.
No, isn't it Curtin?
What's that?
Isn't it Curtin? Not Cougar Creek?
I'm sorry, Curtin Creek.
Yeah, okay. I was like, wait, the city wants to give us money for Cougar Creek? That's great.
So Curtin Creek, working with that.
On that
and want to see if you want to work on the grant for this trail.
Yeah, this is kind of the extension of the conversation we had last meeting where we were talking about instead of working out of a committee structure to go to a team structure more, and this would be an ideal opportunity to for the Chilachi Trail to go and try to, since there's already been a grant applied for, we got the body of the work, if you will. The knock against the grant was, or the request was, that it didn't go someplace. It had a,
right.
Didn't have a final destination. Obviously, we can adjust that and rewrite that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Two concerns. One is, number one, you know, who's gonna write? I mean, that you know, I believe people are much better editors than they are authors. And so, you know, but then in this case, we've got something to work from. The second item is, you know, Bill's going to be focusing with another grant writer on Curtin Creek, and this is a high priority, high value, if you will. All right, so do we have some people of us that want to work and try to submit this grant, which is due in May, I believe?
And to that end,
yeah.
Mulata volunteered to help. She's done
okay.
She's got a strong background, you know.
Right.
In not just parks, but in planning.
Okay.
And then I'm trying to think of the gal's name that was sitting right here.
Lisa.
Even though she kind of does it for a business, mm-hmm. I've been, and okay. I think she's going to assist. Because we were looking at the fact, exactly what you're saying, Jake, that there's a time crunch here and a lack of staffing. And we chatted with Bill, and he said, yeah, someone wanted to volunteer. So it would be great if we had some presence from the PAB to work with them. And we can make this happen until we get a grant writer.
Right.
But we should start really kicking butt on some of these requests. Because if you don't ask, you don't get.
Another benefit with this plan, this particular segment is we got the
and we can learn as we go.
City of Battleground folks to help us out also. And we've already got matching funds because of the TAP grant.
Right.
Didn't you mention we're getting some sort of a, you had a fancy name for it, but a person that's going to help with grant writing after we met with the county?
A resource?
There was a fancy term you used last meeting.
I haven't memorized
yet. Resource development specialist.
There we go.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Whew, get us Laura all the hard questions.
So is that person available to us, or will that person? They're not on board yet.
If we if we're lucky on the spring supplemental and we get them, we can start recruiting. We could probably have them on board by August, which is
past this
opportunity. Past this cycle.
The actual submittal. Well, we have to have it submitted originally by first
May 15th.
May 10th or May 15th, and then the final presentation is in August.
Yeah.
Right.
She said no.
It's like May 15th. I wanted to throw that out there, food for thought, as we're talking about the particular project. Right now we're talking about the funding of it.
Right.
So let's move on to the next one real quick. East Fort Lewis River phase development. Now this has been on the list for a long time, and we really want to start trying to make some strides forward. This one's got the council's attention as well. Remember that whole thing about the Pearson property being sold off? Remember that? That got the whole conversation with the council's going about, hey, this is supposed to be trail property. Let's build a trail. So I wouldn't mind getting this started. We've got a majority of the properties that we need to get from here to potentially Lewisville. We're getting really close. We can at least get from Paradise Point State Park from the center pretty easily because we have all the property. So it's just a matter of doing the site plan, getting the permitting done, and then getting the trail built. So our intention eventually is Paradise Point.
When you look at this and you have a number for that Daybreak Park, maybe what we ought to do when we revisit that, we took that out to the whole community and said, think about anything and everything you can possibly put on there. Well, things have changed. We don't have that general fund money anymore to maintain. So maybe we ought to go back to thinking of this corridor as a greenway and not a park, but every amenity you could possibly think of thrown into. And then we can at least feel like we're getting somewhere with this.
Right.
So when you visit that whole thing.
Exactly. We need to look at the water trail component of it as well as the
water trail and trail, but as a greenway, not all these amenities like arenas and stuff, unless the horse people step up and want it.
Right.
And are willing to pay for it.
Bring dollars.
Let's go with the greenway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's cheaper.
Yep. Okay. And then I think is last but not least, Lewis and Clark Regional Trail. We all know about that one.
Yeah.
That one to death. So we want to talk about our connections there. So I want to start putting some money where our mouth is at once we get this thing done. So just so you know, talk to Dan. What are we going to expect as a result of all these charrettes that we're doing? This is going to be similar to what they're going to produce from the National Park Service. So we're going to see a plan that looks just like this for the Lewis and Clark Trail, which I was really happy to see because we're going to come out with a very tangible, asset that comes from this. And so, what I want to focus on, obviously, is what we have control over immediately. That is the Vancouver Lake piece going north. So that's what I want to take a look at. From Vancouver Lake, going up towards Phillida, taking a look at that crossing that connects us to Phillida, and then we're going to find out in the coming weeks, if we're going to tackle that washout right away. I'd really like to get my hands on it and take that opportunity and move forward with it. So once we get started on this, I really want to make sure that we keep pumping money into it until we get these segments done. So. And with that, we're going to be sponsoring our partnering cities to help them get their segments done as well. So, go ahead.
On the Wilson Park Trail, would it make sense to break it up more so that you've got constant activity on it? So right now you've got just got 20 and 21. Could you do 19 through 22 and always have some chunk of money there? So it's
Yes, you could do that.
Not a bad idea.
With that, I was kind of thinking that she would go out and get grants and kind of geared around grant cycles and that kind of stuff. You know, with refunds that we can use at any given time, you know, from starting in 19, we can put money there each and every year. We certainly could. I'm assuming that a segment, if we're not having to buy right away, is going to be $1.5 million per mile. Mm-hmm. If we're doing water crossings, it's probably going to be $3.5 million per mile, you know, that kind of thing. So it's going to, it really depends. But yeah, we could do that. I could put money in 19 and money in 22 and really beef that one up.
It also might be a good one. Can you, boy, I don't think you can. I was about to say, can you use REAP money as grants and you know, use it to partner with the cities to encourage them to build their segments or something like that?
You know, kind of that's that farther. Question. I get it. Amanda, that's a question that we need to ask going forward, is can we use our REAP funds in cities on non-county owned lands?
I don't know a lot about REAP off the top of my head, but I can certainly look.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a regional trail. I think we probably can. It's,
we're partnering on regional, yeah. Building a mutual asset. You know,
I think it has to be designated regional, and then
right,
and then you can partner.
That may be the caveat is that we dedicate it as a regional site. So we're the Shalachie Trail. Yeah, that goes up to the
that's
city.
That's a regional road, the waterfront.
Yeah, but we actually own the railroad and the right of way. So that's the big thing there. So, but good question. We'll try to get the answer on that. I would love to be able to help our cities out in getting their goals made. So what do you think about the priority list? We can make the changes as amended, or as recommended.
Do we need to put these in priority order, or is this these
are all priority? I think he's got that. Yeah, we asked Bill to do that.
Okay.
When you present it.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you see some big changes, that's, I'd like to hear about that. So John, you just mentioned one.
Lewis and Clark
put some money in each and every year.
Mm-hmm. So Bill, I have a question.
Yes.
So like twice during your presentation, you kind of gulped and were like nervous, made a comment that you were nervous about the regional projects and if we'd have the maintenance to maintain them.
Correct.
So my one question is, if we don't use all this REAP money, can we just save it, like in a pot for?
Yes, it doesn't go away. But okay. It's only for development and maintenance, or capital repairs and development. That's it. We cannot buy property with it, and we can't use it for maintenance.
So my second question then is, do you think we're biting off a little more than we can chew on the regional section with maintenance?
I would think if we were to choose priorities, I would probably stick towards the trails because uh-huh. they are much cheaper to maintain.
Okay.
That would be my suggestion.
I also think we need politically to give the councilors some political ammunition to continue to support trails like they say, given the actual action
right.
that they say they're supporting.
They say, yeah, they want to do that, I believe, yeah. if I understood correctly.
With all the recent involvement with the Lewis and Clark Trail, their focus is on trails right now. Yeah. So I'd like to keep
political ammunition.
The other side is the money may not go away, but it could be raided.
Yeah. Yes.
So well, so that,
we,
that's
here's, the here's another thing. We did find out that you know the REIT 1 and REIT 2 has been used for debt service for several years now through the Great Recession. REIT 2 was not supposed to have been used for debt service. So REIT 1 now owes REIT 2 $7 million. So that's going to be coming into the pot of $20 million. And then we're expected to earn another $6 million every year thereafter. So a lot of money is available. And if you look at that, what we have planned here is not a lot in comparison.
So Kelsey, as far as wanting to trim some of this, when you go into a budget cycle, at least from my experience, it's always better to go in well padded so that when you're asked to make sacrifices, oh, turn off the microphone.
Yeah, I get asked more, and then so if you have to cut something,
so
yeah.
So if you have to cut, there's some, when you go in with the bare bones to start out with, it's never a good idea.
I just don't want to get in a position where the general fund, which is already sort of tanking, we're 5 years from now, we do some development on these parks, and then we close them, and people can't go in them because we can't maintain them. That's just my concern, is looking long term. I totally get your argument, go in, and then they're going to say, cut this anyways, but I don't want to look so, you know what I'm saying? Like, what does your gut say? Because I've never heard you express, like, you're like, meh. Like, when you were pitching a couple of them, you looked just a little.
The one thing that we're going to have to address at some point in the future is to become independent of general fund. Because it has always been, parks has always been a burden to general
fund. But that's the political talk today. Someday the public is going to turn around and say, we pay our park, we pay our taxes, we want a full balance of things funded, so it's cycling.
Right, and so, well, and so one way to really address that, a long-term solution, is to have a metropolitan park district that that spans the entire county.
So that was that's the answer we ought to be saying to the politicians every time they start pounding them.
Right, I mean, that would be the solution to this. It would finally liberate from general fund, and it would be good to go for this, and I wouldn't streak every time we talk about a general fund park project.
I hate to beat on this, but just one more sort of thought is, so what if we cut like one or two of the projects and pump more money into the a couple of the others to fully fund it and get it open faster?
Or we can just,
I mean, so then we have less projects to maintain, and then we fully open or complete projects instead of have like 10 things sort of in flux. We have 8 things completely built, and then I mean, that's just another idea.
I would suggest, you know, as a recommendation, let's focus on the Metropolitan Park District projects.
Yeah.
Let's focus on the trail projects.
Yeah.
And the master planning projects would be good. That's fine. I'm a little worried about building Daybreak.
Yeah.
I think we ought to take it off the table first.
Yeah, actually, I kind of like Kelsey's ideas. Take Daybreak off the table until we're more comfortable with it, and shove that into the trails, and you can really start.
Right.
Can really make, you know, Lewis and Clark or whichever.
Right. Go. Or the Chalach.
Any of the, they're all good.
I also like the idea of what Barbara says, leave them on there for
we don't if they approve all these, we can go back and say, thanks for approving these, but we want to take Daybreak off the table, right? We have that flexibility. As long as we have the flexibility and we're not locked into all of these, I'm okay with going to them with all of these. But like, I like John's idea too of like, well, maybe take Daybreak off the table and fully fund 2 more of these projects, so they're completely open to the public, then have like 4 or 5 in process that you can't access yet.
And you know, another thing is I'm trying to be fairly frugal on these. I mean, we do potentially have up to $20 million to spend over a 2-year period. As you can see, we're not even close to that. We've got $9,150,000 in the 20 year. We could actually bump up the trail projects and bump up the Harmony Sports and bump up some of these other ones and utilize some more of that funding. The one thing that we don't have to worry about necessarily is that money will not be going away if we don't spend it.
Okay, that's good.
So, and
well, the other consideration is where we're looking so heavily for matching funds on the grants.
Yes.
As we stagger it in these phase things, you have to do that over time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you bunch it all together, you end up getting less in matching grant funds because they won't fund you as highly.
Right. So I just want to be realistic when it comes to these projects. And then also just keep in mind that we do have to share with the roads department. And then also, just so you know, right here, this big document that's in front of you, this is the other piece of the REIT, too. This is the capital repair fund. This is the one that Jeremy's been working on for several years now. And he's been doing a phenomenal job of just punching away these big projects. This is major infrastructure repairs. You know, we have asphalt, new roofs, all kinds of different things that are going on in our regional parks. This is what this REIT 2 is also going to be used for. So that's actually an offset, or actually an addition to this cost of the capital improvements. So there's a dollar value attached to it as well. So I wasn't going to spend any time on this today, but just so you know that this is a part of the reach of expense that we're facing in parks.
So, Bill, what are you looking for from the board here? Some ideas of prioritization and approach.
Do you like what you see on the top section here so far?
Yeah.
I'm hearing that let's cut Daybreak.
Well, not necessarily, I mean, ask for it, but not necessarily, if we get it, maybe just not move forward with
it. If we've got some room to play, I'd say stick the
money. Well, we can build a trail through Daybreak,
which would be
nice.
Right.
Which would fit into our criteria, but we don't need to.
I think leave it in for now, because we aren't forced to make any motion forward until we reevaluate and vote on it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
I think that you are better served going with it.
Okay.
Is there a level here where I get what you're saying about playing nice with the rest of your department. So you don't have this big major brawl in the next departmental meeting. But is there a level here where you should be going to the county councilors and say, look, we've got such a backlog of parks and trails and projects that we need it all? Just to send that message.
He would be like,
well, you can ask.
But there's truth to what John is saying. We are playing catch up. We were the child that made the sacrifices for many years. It took the deepest cuts. We stalled.
That would be a part of our message.
And in that message, we could say we are doing street frontage, which is transportation need in its own right.
So right.
We're just meeting our... They have such a expectation of us of our street frontage on parks. Sometimes our parks cost more for the street frontage than the parks.
That's true.
Yeah, frontage improvements can cost more than
Fairgrounds Park. When we did that, I know that the street frontage cost more than the park itself.
Right.
Wow.
Do we know how much the roads are looking to dip into this refund?
Talking to Heath this morning, he knows that we've been in deficit mode for a long time, and he's not going to let them run amok
I told him about the program that's coming up, and then our priorities could change.
So my original plan went out to have 4 bienniums. Now we're down to 2. To test this to make it realistic. So we can beef up the trails a little bit more, and then we can leave Daybreak on there. And if we pull the funding on it, we can pull the funding on it.
That's fine. We can adjust it when we come to.
We don't have any funding until 2021.
Right. So
really.
So by that time, we're actually going to be planning our future anyways. Yeah. For the plan.
Right. I mean, this is going to be a living document. We'll work on it. Each.
My hope is that we can revisit this on a year and reevaluate
every year. Yeah.
And prioritize.
Okay, Kelsey, you said you might want to make a motion.
Yeah, I'll stab at it here.
Okay,
so I'll make a motion to approve the list of projects in front of us in their priority order for Bill to go forward and request the funds. I want to think of something to say about us coming back and being able to revise with the park board's ability to revise at a later date the annually the priority.
Minimally, an annual review or something.
You got that, Dave? Okay.
It don't matter. Mine's been a lot.
Okay. Well, help me make it start. But you know, that's kind of the gist of where I'm going. That we approve it based on the priority list. We ask for these based on the priority list presented, with the ability to revise annually what projects are started or money spent on.
But we do that anyway.
So I want that word in there.
Yeah, because I don't like the idea of like 4 things maybe flying in the wind that we can't maintain in the future. That makes me nervous.
Okay, moved and seconded
further
before.
Discussion.
Yeah, further discussion. And I don't have a good enough mind to express this, but what's not on this list that
was my question.
If you look at your gross plan, our growth plan, and if you go through the capital facilities aspect of it, you're going to see what's going on the list. So there's all kinds of different things.
Yeah, well, and I know there's a ton. Is there anything you thought, geez, maybe I should put this on this list? Or
well, not? You know, my first take until I found out we could not acquire property. I had a bunch of acquisitions in here. Mm-hmm. I actually had $51 million just in the next four biennials on acquisition and development. And I realized, okay, we got to start making it more real. And so we've got several properties outside of the MPD Promise Parks to be built. We've been buying properties. Remember all those mm-hmm. last few years? Those all need to become parks someday. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got those. We've got sports grounds that still need to be built. And we've got other trails. And we've got internal trails here in the urban area that still need to be built. That hasn't been done yet. So there's a long laundry list of projects in the PROS capital facilities plan that do not show here. So I was trying to take, in my mind, what the most the highest priorities were and move forward with those.
But there's nothing on this list that isn't on that list. So that's safe, I would think.
That's correct, yes. Everything that's on this list is in there.
If it isn't, I mean, if we add something here, it's a problem.
The one thing that's not on the cap facilities plan is Lewis and Clark Trail. It's mentioned in the PROS plan, but doesn't actually show up as a line item. However, we are going to open up the PROS plan to add PIF, which is the next thing I need to talk about. And so we need to open up the PROS plan to work on utilizing the ability to utilize PIF for trail acquisition and development, park impact fees. The councilors want this done. They want to put it on the docket for 2018, which means I need to go out and get a consultant, which we do have an on-call consultant that we can get to start this process. And in doing that, we'll have to establish a per capita of miles of trail per 1,000 people in the county. So that establishes our deficit, and then we can add that to the capital facilities plan. And then
have that already in the comp plan?
Not for trails.
Are you sure?
Only for park properties.
So before we go into this discussion, let's finish our first discussion. No, no problem. On our REAP priority list, there's been a motion made. There's been a second. There's been a further discussion. John, I don't know if we got Kelly, what your question was, but.
Well, where I was going to, and what you opened up a little bit is, there's, in this list, the policy decision is we want to finish Metro Parks, we want to get big parks,
master plan at least.
Master plan, and we want to focus on trails, which I fully approve with all of that. What's not on this list is focusing on getting that park within every 1,000 feet or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So we've made a definite decision that this is a more important priority than that.
And but the Metropolitan does a lot of that.
So. This is also true. I just wanted to be clear on that. I've got no problem.
We're actually doing it with this. So, yeah.
Okay, so we do have a vehicle to address it. All right. So, it's been moved, seconded, further discussed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? All right.
Thank you.
So, you've got a list, you've got the recommendation.
I do. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Go for it. Yes, yeah. Very nice.
I'll get together with Susan Wilson with transportation, and we will actually combine the projects that she's got. I got.
Right.
And then next month, will you give us the revised version of this?
Yes, yes. And we should be engaged in a work session with the board or the council.
No, oh, good.
On
okay.
This. So that's, we're going to have a PowerPoint presentation on that. So.
And you'll send us the date for that?
We'll need,
we'll
need help on that as well. So moving on.
Okay, the PIF revision. You started into this, so you revise, you know,
yes.
Once you continue then.
Oh. Oh, yeah, it should be behind you.
In the packet somewhere, I think there's a document that states what the counselors are looking for.
This is
the one-page doc. It's in writing.
Oh, no.
I don't see it. Anyways, I don't see it here, but we can get this to you.
Yeah. So I'm probably going to duck down the back.
No. Jeremy, can you pull that document up real quick? Which one? It is the PIF document. The PIF. PIF use for trails.
More useful in a different component. Okay.
What's that?
PIF ballot.
No, PIF use for trails. It's a.
Okay.
So I'm going to get started in case we don't find it, but I've had two counselors approach me, Counselor Blum, Counselor Olson, who would really, really like to use PIF for trails, which we have not been able to do to date because we have not, this is a document that's coming up, we have not established service levels for trails, and we've not established needs analysis for trails, which we need to do. And so with that, once we do that, we'll actually have to incorporate that into our PROS plan and the cap facilities plan. And so we're gonna have to take a look at the PIF calculation. Are we going to add the cost of acquiring trails and developing trails as a part of the PIF calculation, or do we just keep the current calculation that we're at right now? So the one thing that I would advise of is that we have just recently increased PIFs 162%, so it's a 2003 rate. It may not be very politically popular, especially given this election year for three of our councilors, to try to increase PIFs by adding trails to it. Rather, we just add trails to the existing calculation. That's something we need to talk about. We've been given a nod to move forward, so I'm going to get a consultant on board to actually start the process, and we need to have something done within the next 4 months, I believe, so that this can go onto the docket, so that the county comp plan can be changed to include this for at the beginning of 2019.
Does the state definition of
what's that? Yes, there's a laundry list of things that are on the docket for update, so they have to open it up.
Wow, it feels like that's that done.
Aren't we still being sued over it?
Yes.
Yeah. So how does that affect our grants? Did we ever figure that out? Counselor Bolt was like, oh, we don't have to get any grants.
We are asking that it does not affect our grants.
It doesn't?
We're asking the state. The county wrote a letter to the
remember,
state.
The comp plan covers the grants.
Yeah, and he said if we lose in court, we don't get grants.
Yeah, right. Well, because that we're in a lawsuit with our countywide comp plan, that it could affect our grant ability, or it can affect our scores.
Yeah.
So the county has written a letter asking that don't penalize us because of this problem. So
the definition of PIF at the state level, I was trying to remember reading through it. I don't recall. Does it address that we can include trails in it?
It's silent in there. It doesn't say that it includes trails. It's talking about.
It doesn't say that we can't.
It basically talks mostly about park properties.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really state the trails. It doesn't preclude from.
So we don't have to do any changes at the state.
So we do have to change county code to make that happen.
Okay.
So
that's easier.
It's going to require a hearing. We have to go through the planning commission.
But the key is to create a demand, or we have to calculate a demand. That's the first step.
We need to find out what our deficit is. So the demand deficit, which is our service levels, right?
Right.
And then incorporate that in. So we find that broad scope, and then we address it. How do we go there? Now, do we go after PIF funding? Now, we've got REIT funds all of a sudden. So this is, all of a sudden, this looks pretty tantalizing. And that can be used anywhere, in the urban and rural, right? So, basically what I'm asking for is your recommendation for me to move forward with this process so we can incorporate trails.
One thing that the battle that was going on when I left the city was transportation. We were trying to say that regional trails were an alternative transportation mode, and we should be
we should be able to access transportation dollars.
Yes.
To do that.
Tap dance. Yep.
Absolutely. And I don't know where that finally settled out. And since we're in a department with transportation, mm-hmm. and we feel when we talk about regional trails, are we tapping into that area of funding?
Yes.
Because the feds have money.
Yes.
That.
So this is where Susan Wilson comes back into play. She's our grant writer for the transportation side. Okay. She's got her whole long laundry list of priorities, right? So in those last 2 years, I've been pestering her about the Salache Trail.
Said, which is regional and should be.
Which is regional, yeah. And as long as it has a destination on either side, TAP grants me, which is transportation alternative grants. And so,
see, that's huge.
That's huge. Yeah. It's not really well funded. It's like
but it has a potential being well
right.
funded. But and out of monies that we don't have to use our parks money for.
That's correct.
Because
yes.
the parks trail money was intended to be inside regional and community parks. Mm-hmm. Those pathways.
Absolutely. Yes. TAP and then there's
so
two other forms of
TAP. How does this fit into that?
So this would be, we can use existing PIP, if this is approved, we can use PIP funds to leverage grants and vice versa. And so we can use it for TAP grants, we can use it for RCO grants, all that kind of stuff. So, and we can, more importantly, build trails. And so here's the argument on our PROS plan, the number one source of recreation from our surveys is trails, right? That is the number one want.
Statewide as well.
Yeah, statewide. All the different parks to develop or parks managers around can say the same thing.
Yeah.
People want trails. That is the number one recreation. It's probably the single worst thing that we do is build trails. We just don't do it. And so we need to enhance our ability to do that. So we need the tools, and this is one of them. So I'm very well in favor of actually using PIF dollars to build trails. So. And so keep in mind, PIF dollars can only be used in the urban area, so that's urban trails, right? But we can establish a regional trail system that supports all the different districts. So we could actually potentially use this on a regional trail system as long as we say that it's a regional trail system and it does touch the urban area. So that's something that we can take a hard look at. So.
Okay, so you need from us a motion.
Just a motion to support going forward with this. So
I move that we support Bill's recommendation recommending PIF support regional trail funding as one of the sources.
As one of the yes. alternative sources.
Yeah, one. Yes. I think we need to keep these others in mind as well.
Right, mm-hmm. including transportation.
That doesn't need to go in the motion.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. Further discussion, Bill, you got it.
I do have one other thing I want to talk about. I'm going to pull up that consolidation map. While we have PIF open for the second time now, we had it open, in 16 to...
Okay, well, let's if this is about consolidating the PIF districts, let's...
I'm just wondering if I had include that in the same motion.
Okay, okay.
So, all right. I'm sorry, I forgot to...
No, that's fine. That's fine.
So,
as long as it's part of that. Yeah.
Just briefly, here's our districts. 5, 6, 7... 8, 9, 10, that's our districts that we maintain. City of Vancouver, 1 through 4 is now ABC, right? This is what the city now has. Go ahead, can you go to the next slide, Jeremy?
This is on maps online. What do you want?
The consolidated map that we had earlier. I want to show what we had planned way back in 14 and what we're kind of thinking about right now as a possibility. Okay. This is what we presented back in 2014 to have Parks Advisory Board when we're looking at alternatives to the PIF boundaries. So going from 9, 10 to 1, this is shared 2, and then this would be 4, 5, 6, and 7, I believe, right here, becoming three different districts. Segregated geographically by the highway system, I-5, I-205. City of Vancouver in 2017, just this last year, has created, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jennifer, if 1, 2, or 3,
yep,
and, right. Is it ABC?
I think it's 1, 2, 3.
One, two, three, and they're already done.
Geographically based by the highways, so
yeah.
1, 2, 3. We could do the same thing. That's going to actually, what this is going to do is help us to chart out trail systems throughout the urban unincorporated area. Of course, whatever change we make, we have to draw a line as to what's been collected so far.
Barbara likes it because she's going to take some of the $59.
You need it, Barbara.
So
I feel the energy.
You felt the energy.
So my question to you is, should you do this?
Yes, I will amend my motion to add and support proposing a consolidation of PIF districts into the three proposed as presented by Bill.
Discussion for just a second. Would it behoove us to have actually four districts rather than three and split the green by the north and south? Split it.
What would that accomplish?
Well, there's a lot of different issues between the two areas.
But on the other hand,
I mean, if you look at what's going on down here, what's going on up there in one district, it's so far.
Yeah, but
geographical areas, yeah.
You got the farming on one end and the high growth over on the other end.
But on the other hand, by having them together,
having them together helps balance them.
You can apply it to the north too.
Well, and being from from the school district, we have school impact fees, and we have one district. We have Vancouver School District, and what that allows us to do is to put the money where it needs to be put. And with the smaller districts, it just sometimes is impossible to build something and you need it in that community or neighborhood, but it's impossible because you can't get the money. There's maybe too much farmland in one area, but you have high density for homes. This will give Bill all the flexibility that he needs, and I think that it provides enough definition for homeowners to think that their money is going to stay relatively in their local section of the community versus, you know, being too spread out. But I'm in favor of just, you know, one district if Bill wants that.
I don't think that would apply.
Bill is responsible.
That's next year.
Yeah.
Consolidation 2.0.
Yeah.
I've heard lots of pros. Give me one con for doing this.
One con to doing this?
Yeah.
It's not as doable.
The only thing that we have to start a new line on our collections. You know, everything that from that day forward is locked in. So we have to spend it to how it's been collected. And then going forward, we have to start a new matrix for that. Until we burn up all that old money, which is fine. I'm perfectly fine with that.
So Barbara couldn't steal existing.
Not the existing.
Yeah.
No.
But there's a lot more building going on down there than there is in ours.
There could be a negative perception that a rich district would suffer and that they feel like they would no longer have sort of this control of the funds that were in their smaller district. To me, that's probably not a negative for Bill. That could be just a PR negative if people perceive that.
Right. Yeah. So, if there's a lot of money being collected here, there's better than here. These people might think that they're getting ripped off.
Bill, were you involved when we built the 10 districts in the first place?
No. I was here, but I wasn't involved.
But you weren't involved.
Because
there was a lot of reasons why we had 10 districts at the time. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just because we're trying to simplify, we might be creating more problems. So I like your question, whether the, I don't know what those negatives are necessarily. I know the city may have just been cutting into three for no reason.
We can talk to Monica Tuberville and ask her what her thoughts on the pros and cons are. But I think it's gonna actually help us if we're trying to chart out trail systems that bisect. It's going to be a lot easier than to not have to make so many different funds from so many different areas. So instead of having six districts, we're down to three. So if we're having a trail that comes through here, we're talking about three districts and not maybe five.
Didn't you just give away part of like Fruit Valley or something to the city?
What's that?
Didn't
we have funds or some property down there that we were not collecting on, but it was in our district?
Was that by Minnie Hall?
The annexation piece, you
know? No, I'm talking about the piece that was by the lake.
Oh, down here.
Oh,
and there was like, we ended up, I don't remember if we gave him the money or if we just gave him that area.
That was over here.
PIF 4 is right here. We gave him all PIF 4. And
no, I know what you're talking about.
No, this was over by the lake.
It was like a year ago. Yeah, it's in the city.
Your friend.
So we have PIF 1. This is PIF 1 right here.
Yeah.
And we still have funding left in PIF 1. We gave it all to them because we don't have
anything in PIF 1.
Our generation area is right
here. That's what I'm saying. So if they wouldn't have gave it to them when you did this, then that money would have been able to be spent.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. When they annex the next time, you end up with these little pieces that don't have developable area, but that money's about being wasted then.
Right.
So that is a benefit to doing this. As you annex, you're able to support it.
Right.
Yeah. And you have to use your PIF money within so many years. It's not...
Oh, yeah.
And then the nightmare of being able, having to return it, or to find the people that you have to return it to, is just an exercise you don't want to have to get into.
Well, this is just purely a management tool anyway.
It is, right.
I think we ought to just bless it and say good.
Okay, right.
Okay, so the motion's been made and amended. The has been seconded and further discussed about as much as I think we can discuss.
I'm
not sure anymore. All right, so I will call for a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, Bill.
Thank you.
Who was the second?
Who was the second?
Barbara made first.
Yeah.
John.
John
was the second.
Schedule an additional meeting to deal with that, or to
the pros plan?
Yeah.
To talk about
the update.
The update to the pros plan?
Yeah.
We'll have to start talking about that in the 2020 year.
No, I'm talking this one with the.
You can talk with PIF, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to actually identify the trails that we want to put into the pros plan. So if we're going to open it up.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering whether that might.
But that'll come next year.
That'll come.
Late this year?
Yeah, later this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so when the docket gets voted on, is that right, Amanda? The docket item for the comprehensive plan? It gets voted on late this year and then becomes effective January 1, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also,
so we will probably have to address this about September, October to find out which trails. And then I'll learn a lot more about it as we go through it. So,
okay, so in respect of everybody's time, it's 2:30 now. Bill, do you have everyone here, vendors? Is that
briefly
what we're
talking
about
that already? In addition to the fees, we're talking about introducing vendors into our parks to increase revenues.
And you wanted a motion for that?
Just as a formality, because I might have to go up with a staff report to the board asking to approve the RFP.
Okay. All right. So
move to support the inclusion of vendors as a revenue source in our regional parks.
I'll second it.
All right. So we have a first. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. So you have a manager's report here, Bill.
I don't know
if you went through what's there.
Let me pass these out real quickly, just so you have.
Bill, can I do that while you're?
Oh, sure. Okay. Yes.
Thank you. I'm trying to be respectful of everybody's time.
I'm going
to
blow right through this really quickly.
List of his path.
Unless you want me to if you just want to read it on your own, it's up to you.
We can read it on our own. I see you have one thing here, the Parks Foundation event, March 10th. And not sure what that...
It's St. Patty's for
St. Patty's Day. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're taking our kids there.
All right.
It's at the Lumpy Center. And it's a fabulous event.
But they dropped the good one. Where we drink beer.
Oh, at Shorty. Yeah, I know where we got the drink.
I know.
I always look forward to that one.
There's a lot of moms that aren't.
It used to be kids during the day, adults at night. And they always had good music and good refreshments.
All right.
there's one that is worthy of mention. That's the State of the Counties coming up on March 20th.
That's right. It got rescheduled.
It got rescheduled because of the weather. Now it's coming up on March 20th at 3 o'clock at the Clark County Fairgrounds Event Center. And then our very own Karen Llewellyn is going to be receiving an outstanding Clark County Employee Award at that. So
okay, so want to make sure
for that. So it's free to get in.
If everybody looks at their agenda on the backside, there's the upcoming events, and that's listed on the upcoming events along with the Lewis and Clark Trail stakeholders meetings. So do that. And again, in interest of time, I will send out an email talking about and seeing who would like to participate in the Chalachi Trail grant writing effort. And we do have that in our packet. I saw that. Thank you very much, Laura, for getting that put together for us.
It's in the packet?
The actual, yeah. And the questions, I don't know how many of you guys got a chance to listen to the webinar. I think it was 2 weeks ago on the grant writing and everything. The good news was they try to help you with this a lot, if we can take advantage of that. And they have a person assigned to our area to help us with that too, you know, a certain person that you can get to some input from. So looking forward to that. But I will get out a question on or an email, as I said, out to everybody, seeing if you want to help and how you see yourself helping also with that. So again, it's more of a transitioning from the committee scenarios to a team scenario. So we have a finite goal with a definitive end schedule, delivery date. I'm trying not to use engineering terms. I do this every day. The delivery date, the proposal schedule. So anyway, and then Bill, you're working with, and I forget the lady's
Jane
name,
Chester
the
Kreiner.
Grant writer for Curtin Creek.
And one thing to keep in mind too is we have Jeff Mize who can actually do all of our proofreading for us, to really make sure that everything's accurate and on point.
I think and proofreading succinct. And then proofreading, there's two different kinds of proofreading. One's to see if it covers the
all the criteria.
The
content,
other one is
yeah.
to see that dots, T's are crossed and
correct.
Things are spelled. Yeah. He would do the spelling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, short round table. Anybody, anything?
I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget. First of all, we all need to take a moment to say happy birthday to Jay next week.
Happy birthday.
He's moving backwards now, right?
Yes, yes.
So,
moving backwards for a long time.
39.
You live in Azu.
Yes.
So happy birthday, Jay.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
And then I had a question. I know that Karen Llewellyn is indeed receiving the award. That's from NAC, recognizing Outstanding Employee of the Year. And it got me to thinking that we really do have some fabulous support people within our parks staff. And is this something that is too late for this year? But I think that it would behoove us to take a look at thanking some of our support staff. And would we want to do the same thing at State of the County next year and acknowledge from our ranks the employee that we felt was outstanding? Just tuck it in your mind, and I think we should act on that before. The other is my team got together and we were looking at the next outreach opportunity, and we thought that it would be good to bring it back to the group and say, we know of things in our area, for example, and I'm talking about that safety open house that we had our initial outreach to. And I have to say, I really think that this is a positive thing to get out and get your hands on the public and let them know that we exist, that we're there for them, that we're here to reflect their views, and it's hard to do without touching base with them. And we thought the 4th of July, there's over 7,000 attendees at that picnic, that putting a table up there would be good. And we know about the safety open house on our side of town, but what is there on your side of town that you think should get on our list? So think about that, shoot it to me. That's all I have.
Okay. Anybody, Kelly?
I just wanted to
welcome back, by the way.
You know, 56 people applied for the city council, and our good friend Laura Lubinsky was the winner. So
we
should somehow acknowledge her and use her political clout to the city
and support her run
as a leaf of good faith to move forward
if we so choose to do.
You want to get married?
I was shocked that she got it, but she got it.
That's cool.
Proud of her.
Yeah.
I might drag her back to this meeting, so
that'd be fun.
She'll be happy with it.
Yeah. Dave,
I'll pass because I don't.
That's why I wrote it down. Dave's daughter.
He's so cute.
Roll over today.
Oh.
Yeah.
crawling soon, walking sooner, and then running.
College
sooner.
Kelsey?
I just want to thank Laura for getting the Baby Bell cheeses. Those are my favorites ever. Thank you. They're so good.
It's the little things.
Yeah.
The world go around. Sarah? Gizzy?
I have my competition coming up, so I guess next week is when signups are launched. So if you have anyone that is in high school and looking for like scholarship opportunities, they could sign up.
Okay.
What is the scholarship opportunity for?
It's the Sustainable Technology Competition. It's a competition that I founded with a couple friends of mine, and
really great. Yeah, cool.
That's a great idea.
Great.
Okay. Mr. Spencer, our new liaison to,
to the railroad.
huge salary increase.
That's right.
Yeah. Right, yeah, double.
Triple if you want it. Let's be serious.
Sky's the limit. A couple of things. One, for those of you interested in East County activities, the court has agreed at least to look at the idea of donating some of our waterfront land for a community center / pool / conference center. So and the two cities are starting to talk seriously about getting together to do that sort of thing. So
is this to replace the pool that's out there?
Yes.
Or in addition to?
The discussion is primarily around a 625-yard lap pool plus whatnot. Some people are actually talking 50-yard and do the Olympic thing, but we'll see.
Wow.
And also that we continue to talk around dog parks. I know Dog Paw continues to have issues and desires they want to start closing their gates and asking, what's the word I want? They want to
admission fee.
People to prove that they have licensed dogs in their
interesting.
Plus, they're also talking member only. Oh. So they're kind of hurting for money, and they're looking for ways to reduce liability, increase revenue. So. Lots going on over there.
Have they tried any of the corporate sponsorships?
Yeah, and they're working hard on corporate sponsors as well. And on a personal end, I have 275 pirates renting out my barn this weekend.
Oh, no, man.
And it is going to be 275 pirates. They do pirate festivals, and they are there right now. Turning the whole thing into Tortuga or something like that is pretty darn cool.
Do they wear their costumes during setup?
They not during setup.
Oh.
But
well, really
rum will be flowing tomorrow night.
Kind of like the Renaissance Festival, now it's a pirate festival.
That's
exactly,
amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
With your slang so you can fit in?
Yeah, well, I got myself a costume anyway.
Well,
yeah. There you go. Miss Laura, anything from you?
Just a reminder that the resolution that Jose promised all of you last month is in your packet, so this might be important for you.
Yeah, John, you might want to read that.
Yeah. So that's it.
Yeah,
get on that, John.
Bill?
I just want to say thank you for putting up with all the stuff that I'm throwing at you and for making decisions on short notice without a lot of history behind it, so I really appreciate your flexibility.
Just so everybody knows, along those lines, you know, Kelsey and I get together 2 weeks before this meeting and go through the agenda. So if you have agenda items, the things you want to bring up, please forward them on to myself or Laura, and you know, we'll get them on the agenda as time and priorities permit. You know, we really try to focus on letting Bill get his information out to us and so we can act on it. But I also want to know, you know, what we think as a board
what are priorities, what are things coming up, dog parks, I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. We need to you know, make sure we're getting, we get the output from the county, but even we want to give the input too. So
anyway, I would love, if this group is interested, I would love to either myself or have my consultant, Jane Kisner, ask her if she'd be willing to come and talk to us about good park design that has inclusive play for students with disabilities.
Sure.
So I've been really engaging Jane heavily in the process, and I think we've come up with several different results that have really been fruitful, and they've been reduction of costs in park, in our school playgrounds, in cost, but an increase in the experience for students. And I really would love to share that as we think about
our agenda items.
Okay. And I have the one thing I forgot. Real quick. So I was talking to Karen Llewellyn about volunteer hours, and you know, they use it in kind for grants and whatnot.
Yes.
And she's only capturing our meeting hours. So all the behind the scenes stuff, she's not capturing. And I told her, at least myself, there's no problem to log those hours. I assume most of you would be okay with that too. So think about it, and I think that's something we need to start.
That would be something to look at.
Yeah. Because, I mean, every hour counts.
But you want to be really proactive, you can go to logistics and actually log your own hours. But she'll do it if she knows what they are.
Yeah. So, I
mean, yeah, either way, whatever's easier.
So we're losing hours there and money, essentially. So.
Okay.
That was it.
Good point.
That might be a good thing to just have on the agenda, that we just submit our hours of
things.
A great idea, Kelly.
Yeah. I agree.
That's the perfect way to do that.
I agree, yeah.
All right.
Meeting
adjourned.
That is.
Sorry.
Try to get you down.
We knew that was going to happen. I mean, it was a lot.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Kelly.
Thank you.